B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. The whole crew is back here on the best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. And the word of the day today is sameness. That's what's going on in Philadelphia right now. This whole sense of sameness. We're dealing with this with the basketball, where it's the second round again, same. And now with the Phillies again. Let me guess. They lost partially because they didn't get good enough starting pitching. The defense was eh, and the offense, a lot of solo shots and not a lot of runs. You can say that about more than half of the Phillies' losses, three-quarters, 90% of their losses this year. There's just so much sameness going on in the city of Philadelphia. And if everybody was winning, like what they got going on right now in Miami, where both teams are now up 3-0, that kind of sameness I'd sign up for immediately. This kind of sameness is starting to get on my damn nerves. We need something to change up the mojo. We need something different. I don't know if it's the Sixers' new coach. I don't know if they do some trade on the draft day, which is now the draft's already less than a month away. I don't know what could change the sameness, but the city of Philadelphia badly needs something to change, because you don't have to watch the Phillies right now to know how they lost. It's the same thing over and over again.
This baseball team is super annoying, and I think what we can look at maybe is what's coming up for their schedule. Now, they have to get through the Diamondbacks. They have two more games, and hopefully they can salvage this thing and pull out a 2-of-3 victory type of series. But you have the Atlanta Braves. You face the New York Mets, and last year it was troublesome every time the Mets were on your schedule. Could they do something that we can't anticipate right now? Maybe sweep the Atlanta Braves. Do something to give us some sort of momentum when you look at the National League East, because I think that's our only hope right now. This is not going to happen quickly. Daryl Morey said that in regards to the head coach, even though that there's a lot of teams looking for a lot of these same individuals out there. Nick Nurse, his name's been thrown around a lot, and Monty Williams, but there's a process. So I don't think that we're just going to snap our fingers and have the head coach in this upcoming week. I hope so. I hope there's something that we can grab onto a bit more. But I'm looking at the Phillies, and the problem is I don't have a lot of faith that they'll be able to do what I'm asking. But if we're looking for change, so it's not sameness, I think it starts with the National League East matchups that we see with Atlanta and New York, Ricky.
I think you're on top of that. I think that could change a lot of things, but I think this is perfect because everything around here seems to be the same, and you need change. And, you know, you talk about the Phillies. I think there are some things that are very visible. Okay, runners in scoring position, it's visible. Starting pitching, it's very visible. But fundamentals, what the hell is seriously going on with this team? You had Zach Wheeler, who's been around this league for a long period of time, not covering first base last night. They're booting the ball all over the place. I mean, that's what bothers me more than anything else, because these are things that could be ironed out. These are things that could be wrinkled and steamed away. I don't see that happening with this team. And now, who do you blame? You can't necessarily blame the players, can you? I think you have to blame the coaching staff. That those are the guys that have to start these guys up. Those are the guys that have to be their trigger points. Those are the guys that have to get them on the field early. Whatever happened to, you know what, taking infield practice every once in a while before a game. Get these guys moving. Get them in motion. Get them ready to play some defense. I don't like that. I hate the base running. I mean, Trey Turner steals a base when he probably shouldn't have last night. Everything is a disaster. with this team right now. And I'm not saying they can't turn around, because I truly believe they will turn it around. But you're getting dangerously close to not turning it around when you have to. Because when you get into this National League East schedule and you go into that flat, they're going to kick your ass every which way but Sunday. This team has to wake up right now. I know people will sit back and say, well, it's not Memorial Day yet. Well, it is this weekend. So it's time to wake up.
Yeah, it's just there's this sameness about it, Ricky. You're absolutely right. Now, today they're going to have a bullpen game. Now, for some people out there, we know Strom's going to start. But the bulk reliever will be the newly added right-handed pitcher, Dylan Covey. Now, Booty dug into this stat, and I want you guys to listen to this because maybe you'll feel better, because maybe this is the kind of change that the city of Philadelphia badly needed in Dylan Covey. His career record is 6-29. Now, with that in mind, now this is what DeBooney found. Because remember, we're talking about sameness. This is not the same. This is different from everybody. His win percentage of 171 is the worst of any pitcher with at least 30 career decisions in the last 115 years.
Come on, man.
Now, listen. I don't like to question Dombrowski because he knows what he's doing. At the same time, I would imagine that even in the Phillies' own system, there's a guy who could start a game. Maybe he's not a top prospect. You're going to tell me there's no one available in your entire 40-man roster that would be capable of coming up here one time and doesn't have the worst winning percentage in the last 115 years? It's just, this is what Ricky, you mentioned it. It's early. I understand it's early. But we're getting the same from the basketball team. Then now with the Phillies, it's rinse and repeat the same thing for every loss. The mental mistakes, et cetera. And the solution, because all these games do count. I understand that they're all one of 162. And knowing the way the Mets owned this team last year, where they lost every single series, and knowing how good the Braves are, you're prepared to make your bulk reliever not a young guy who maybe he's getting to the majors a little too soon, but you like his stuff, and he might be able to give you 2-3 innings. You're going with this dude. The sameness is annoying.
It's probably going to be a disaster. Or we all think it is, so then he goes out and gives us 5 innings of clean baseball, because why the hell not? But even their series wins aren't really inspiring. They just grind out a game where Bryson Stott comes off your bench, hits a 2-run shot, and that's all the support you had in the offensive side of the game. So, you know, they can never put it all together for a long range, for a long amount of time, string together 6, 7, 8 series wins in a row. None of it's inspiring, and it just sucks. Like, it shouldn't be this way. Trey Turner, in one of the biggest funks he's ever seen in the history of his career, probably dating back from when he was 4 years old, picking up a baseball bat for the first time. Why the hell is it happening now after we finally pay him to be a huge addition at shortstop? It sucks, man. I'm over the whole it's too early to react. No, it's not. This team needs to pick it up.
It's a third of the season.
Pick it up.
And it's not fun. Watching that game last night was not enjoyable. I like to watch sports to have an enjoyable time. That game was not fun to watch last night, and they haven't been.
You know what jumps on me when fans will say, well, they did the same thing last year. I hate to tell everybody out there, but that trip to the World Series was a Cinderella trip. That was one of those things you're not going to see happen every single year like that. You're not going to see the last wild card jump in and all of a sudden they're on this beautiful flight, you know, to paradise. It doesn't happen every year like that. I want to see this team actually be good early on. Would be nice.
It would be. It would be. And I don't even trust one starter in the rotation right now. I don't trust Zach Wheeler right now. It doesn't mean I won't down the road. I have the most faith in Zach Wheeler compared to anybody else on the staff. But as soon as your offense creeps into the lead, he gives it right back. Mm-hmm. The Diamondbacks are scoring runs.
I have a question for all of you. If you watched a game last night, did you see his body language? I want to see that fire that he has. I haven't seen that at all. Not from any of the starters, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I don't know if you guys notice that kind of stuff, but
I don't.
I know you don't.
I don't look at that at all. Also, So happy belated, Jen. Jen is back.
Thank you.
And happy belated Hunter.
Yep, 24th birthday Jen just had.
That's
and
right. then happy also, birthday, Jen.
Thank you.
It is Hunter Brody's 28th birthday today as well. So happy birthday, Hunter.
Happy birthday, Hunter.
Thank you. Now, it seems like you're not overly happy. No, he's not Bro's. Bro's birthday was last week.
It was.
Why are you not enthusiastic about your birthday?
I don't know. It was just never a thing for me. It just feels like another day. Really? I'm at work. Yeah, I drive into work. I have my Starbucks coffee. It's the same thing that I did yesterday.
Well,
I'm the same on mine. I'm the same. I always have. Well, you gotta understand.
I love my birthday. I took 2 days off.
During mine, I was always playing baseball. So it was just like, okay, it's just another day.
Yeah, but...
But it's the day of your birth.
Right.
I understand,
I think it's important. Tyrone and I are on the same level here.
Yeah, now, Jen, no, I don't take off for it.
Nope.
Not quite on your level. Jen made sure she got a 3-day week out of her birthday.
Four-day week,
and then a 3-day week, and then another 4-day week. Right, that's how Jen finagled it.
It was just me thinking ahead and being smart.
But I wanted to bring this up in addition to the sports stuff. Are you a person that cares about your birthday? Because I've seen all kinds. Anthony Gargano, who was on earlier, hates his birthday because it's too close to Valentine's Day. So he felt like when he got to a certain age, he was always buying stuff for other people, and people didn't pay attention to his birthday. So Anthony hates his birthday. You just ignore your birthday, Hunter. Ricky, you and Jen, her birthday may as well be Christmas.
Yes.
She likes to be worshipped, similar to the person we worship on Christmas.
I will say this. Mine's at the end of the summer. So when I was younger, it was always like, okay, you have a little birthday party, and then it's back to school.
Yeah, that would make I still get anxiety all these years later with back to school commercials come on.
Oh.
And I don't have to go back to school. And I still like, oh, man, I start to get, I get high.
Do we need to cover that in Therapy Thursdays?
We'll get into that on one of the Therapy Thursdays going forward when we get a little later on. But 610-632-0975, sameness. So the Sixers, it's the same thing all the time. The baseball team, it's the same thing all the time. And unfortunately, it's not sustained excellence. And then the NFL decided to change the rules that no one wanted. We'll get to that on the other side as well. The NFL just decided, hey, guys, I know you didn't ask for this, but you're going to do it. And, hey, you Eagles fans, you guys like traveling, right, for your games? You like to book your trips in advance and stuff? Yeah, won't be able to do that anymore. We'll talk about that as well. And then Jimmy Kemsky will be on from the Philly Voice at 4 o'clock to explain some of these rule changes, some of them good. One of them that we'll talk about on the other side, horrible. Coming up here on the best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. Word of the day is sameness. We'll keep talking about that, and we'll get to the NFL thing that I was talking about right before we went to break, which is also on my nerves. But let's start our Twitter poll first. Well, actually, no, 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, Attention HVAC Contractors for Quinn Parts and Supplies. For every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's kind of locations in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, where I grew up, or Westchester today. And now time to start our Twitter poll with Jen Scordo coming back from her birthday extravaganza.
It was, indeed. Yes. That. Yes. Yeah, sorry. What concerns you most about the Phillies right now? Four answers. Starting pitching, runners in scoring position, coaching, or fielding? Mm-hmm. Fielding is in last place right now at 4%. 5% say coaching. 20% runners in scoring position, but starting pitching winning at 72%.
Okay.
I think that's the right answer. Because runners in scoring position, I think you'll gradually work yourself out of this funk. I don't know how I feel about these starters right now.
I don't feel comfortable with any of them. I don't feel comfortable with any of them. And this is where Boris also screwed them, because at least you can have Painter as another arm. He'd be your number five. You wouldn't have to worry about having an opener tonight if he was around. So, big mistake. Now, the NFL thing, they decided to make a change. And now Thursday night football is now flexible. You can flex Thursday games now. Now, this is weeks 13 through 17. And this is significant. But now it needs 28 days notice. But here's the problem. We all know Eagles fans better than basically any fan in the country travels. And the Eagles love to travel later on in the year. Eagles fans, they love to travel later on in the year. So what about a situation now where all these people have jobs? They're traveling around work. So many of them, what they'll do is they'll either take off that Friday or that Monday because they have to go to work. So if they fly out Saturday, they go to stuff Sunday, then they fly back Monday. They only miss one day of work. And they set these trips far in advance, obviously, because they know the Eagles' schedule ahead of time. And if a game goes from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock, it doesn't really affect them that much because Monday they're flying out anyway. But now what happens if you start booking stuff now based on the Eagles' schedule like Eagles fans do? Well, now 28 days before, you can find out, that game now is Thursday, which now is at least one extra day off, or maybe two. Maybe you have to take the Wednesday off and the Friday off. And that's not a realistic thing for a lot of people. Why? First of all, who amongst us as the fans wanted to see Thursday games flexed?
I hate the idea.
No.
I hate the idea.
It's dumb.
It's gonna ruin a lot, you're right, with the travel plans. But there was a piece on Sports Illustrated, and one of their writers, he's got 70,000 followers on Twitter and all, and I guess he's been writing for Sports Illustrated for a while. But his piece says, the fans who go to games are irrelevant these days. It's all about numbers, and the league is going to cater more to the 10 million who actually watch Thursday Night Football over the 80,000 people who go to travel to the Thursday Night game, and that's their view. Well, I mean, think about how much of a slap in the face that is. You're spending your hard-earned money and you're making all these plans, you're getting hotels, you're going to grab food, you're doing all this stuff to cater going to this event, and they're basically flipping you the middle finger. It's crazy.
It's weak, and it's all about the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that, and it does. It sucks for the fans. It really does.
And the other part is, yes, it is for the people on TV, then say that. What they'll do is, and Jeff Lurie, by the way, voted for it. It passed with the minimum amount, but Jeff Lurie voted yes. So it's not like Jeff Lurie gives a damn about you if you're traveling. He don't care. I know Jeff Lurie's great. Yeah, he's great up to a point. At the end of the day, he cares about the money more than any of y'all. Okay? If there was a pile of money on fire and you were on fire, he's peeing on a pile of money. I'm just keeping it real. I'm just being honest with you. All right? That's what's going to happen. I'm glad I drank this Dasani. I can save this money. Oh, stop, drop, and roll, he yelled to you as he tried to put out the fire on the money. But this is ridiculous. No one asked for this. And we'll talk to Jimmy Kempsky about some of the other rules of fire. But, yes, he voted for it. It's an ongoing discussion, as you may know. It was brought up. It's a big jump to have the NFL package on streaming. We know that we're headed to a very digital universe. More and more people are watching games through streaming. I think we know where it's all headed. And so there's an attempt to want to make the Thursday night package even more attractive. There are ways of doing it. And then he goes on and on and on. Uh-huh. Thanks, Jeff. No fan wanted this.
Hate to tell you, all I hear is people with these streaming games complaining about them.
Well, I mean, that's who you would hear from. No one's going to say, hey, Ricky Bo, it was great, my streaming experience. That's all you're going to hear from is the people that complain about it.
Well, the only thing I dislike, you can't flick back and forth to channels.
I got a system for that.
Yes, I know you have to change the HDMIs, right?
Yeah, boom, 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 yeah, boom, boom, boom. I got it. I can do it. But my issue with it is the fans didn't want it. It was about them, not about us.
I think all we wanted was a better Thursday night game.
Right.
Those games were awful. They were horrendous last season.
And 1 through 12 are still going to stink. So,
right. 13,
and then they said, they put all this thing. And then don't be fooled by the 28 days. They tried to make it to where it was only 14. And if it wasn't for the Giants owner, they were one vote short. The Giants owner put his foot down and said, no, this isn't right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then that's where they put it out to 28 days. That was the compromise.
There's so many better ways to do this. How about you just go off your damn schedule and put together matchups on Thursdays regardless that will make sense? That's all. Like, there's no
division matchups,
yeah, exactly.
Things like that, to where even if the teams aren't as good, Eagles-Dallas is significant week 15. Even if the Eagles are bad, we're like, okay, beat Dallas.
Right.
Like, there's certain games to set up To me, that's the answer. They don't want to do that. So this is where sameness would have been a good thing. And instead, they said, forget all that.
So the NFL is greedy, you say? I'm just stunned.
Yeah, it's
just
shocker.
Yeah, so,
surprise, surprise.
Yeah, so, and it just added to my aggravation because, now, I mean, personally, due to this job, we don't get to make those kind of trips. But I do personally know fans that save up money and plan and do a lot of stuff to go on that one trip. In fact, I know some fans who go to the one game on the road somewhere and never really ever get to go to home games. So they make a whole big trip out of it. Big fans. So if they're going to go to Miami, I'm just giving an example. They don't get to go to Miami. Flights to Florida are usually affordable. So they find a way to get down to Florida and they go to Eagles to Dolphins. And then they feel good about themselves and as a fan and they're with the other Eagles fans. And we took over the stadium, that type of stuff. And if you're going to alienate your diehard fans, how long before it reaches the casuals?
That's an interesting question. It really is. And I mean, I think at some point it's a snowball effect and it will eventually reach them. But then you always look at the reality of it. Whatever the NFL does, because we love football so much, mm-hmm. we're brainwashed. And they'll sell us garbage and we'll eat the garbage. Mm-hmm. They'll give us crap and we'll eat the crap. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So they know that this might not be the best for certain things. But at the end of the day, they're going to benefit because we are brainwashed into Sunday, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, Thursday, 8 o'clock. We are tuned in no matter what they do. They have us on a string and they're just playing games. So you would think maybe eventually there'll be a stand, but every time you think it's possible, then all of our diehards, all the diehards out there, we get sucked right back in.
Yeah.
It's like impossible to beat this beast.
Yeah, well, at least we have a good baseball team. Oh, no, we don't.
Oh, man.
How about the Sixers? The Sixers are up 3-0, right? Are they up 3-0?
Mm-mm.
No, they actually lost to the team that's down 0-3.
Oh, they did.
In case you forgot.
Oh, all right. Trey Turner, the big signing. That guy's hitting a lot of gap power, a lot of doubles, right?
Well, not necessarily.
He's on pace for 55 steals, right?
I got you. Danny Briere, general manager of your Philadelphia Flyers.
Why are y'all doing this?
Okay.
You're making my heart hurt.
Well, I remember they also got rid of who's the president?
That would be Keith Jones.
All right. Okay. Oh, hold on. All right. Come on. All right.
Pulling at straws.
That would be 10-year veteran in front office, Keith Jones. Oh, wait. This is his first time doing the job?
How
long has Briere been a GM?
Never.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So it's no experience with no experience.
That seems to be the case.
I would say that's about right.
Well, Zach Wheeler's killing it, right? He's carrying the Phillies down. He's doing great, right?
Come on.
Okay, Hold on. I know who. Nola takes the ball every fifth day. That guy starts all the time. He's having a good year, right?
Tywan Walker was a great signing.
Oh, man.
What the? You guys are just destroying
Joel Embiid was the MVP.
That was a long time ago.
It feels like forever ago.
Jen, how'd he do in the fourth quarter of game six?
Hunter, I was trying to find a positive.
Okay, you know what? They traded Danny Green was an expert at making corner threes. They traded him to get DeAnthony Melton. How'd he do in the playoffs making those corner threes in the big spots?
He had a good game one.
No, I'm talking about the game six you just mentioned.
Game six.
Yeah, I think I remember a time when Embiid was double teamed mm-hmm. and kicked it to the corner and Melton was wide open in the spot where Danny Green used to be. Mm. What did
Sixers
he do?
Sixers won game six, didn't they?
That would be a no. But they had a chance in game seven and they showed fight, right? Oh, that would be no.
No.
All right, well, here. James Harden realized that a lot of this was on him, not all of it. He realized that a lot of this was on him, and he's going to come back to Philadelphia on a discount deal.
Oh, love that. Just like Nick Foles.
Yes.
Like Nick Foles was going to?
Oh, that didn't happen?
He didn't do that. He actually got a bag and went to a different city.
And Harden is looking for a lot of money, is he?
That's what I'm told.
Somebody said, wait, he really asked for he's asking for $200 million?
That'd be 4 years.
$250 million a year.
He can get up to $210.
610-632-0975. We'll open the phones on the other side. Scott, you'll be first. The sameness right now in Philadelphia is not optimal. Help us out. Ed, do you care about your birthday? Do you care about your birthday? because Jen really, really does.
Yes, I do.
And Hunter really, really does it. And maybe you can wish Hunter happy birthday. You guys give him a hard time enough. Don't forget that at a quarter to four, we'll have Hunter's History Minute. You don't want to miss that here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. We got this great deal of the week. Experience thrills and make a splash with the Fanatic deal of the week. Get one same-day ride and water park ticket to Maury's Pier for $70. That's unlimited rides on all three piers and access to both water parks. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Get your combo ticket before they're going. Supplies are very limited. Word of the day, sameness. Sixers, it's always the same. The Phillies anymore, it's always the same. The NFL should have some sameness. They're changing stuff just to change stuff. Some of the rule changes are good, but the flexing Thursday. Did anybody out there go, man, first of all, people initially didn't even necessarily want Thursday football. No one was thinking, wouldn't it be better to disrupt it more by flexing? And then what happens if you think you're traveling for a Thursday game and they move it to Sunday? Because if they're flexing the game, then those two cities, people have to then move to Sunday. I just don't know who wanted this.
And it has to affect the approach of previous weeks. Not like you look ahead, even though they say it's week to week or we get one day better, whatever the cliche is. Mm-hmm. We know that you look ahead at the schedule and say, hey, in 2 weeks we have a short week. We're going on Thursday. Now, they tell you in advance when this all stuff is happening, so they say, and it'll all work out. But there's got to be a way that this affects the approach of the teams, you would think.
You think
no?
So? I don't think it really – well, maybe the teams that get flexed from Sunday to Thursday, but the ones that go from Thursday back to Sunday, I don't think they care.
No, they'll be happy.
Yes.
But the ones that have the short week,
flexing from Sunday to Thursday, have got to be pissed.
Yes,
off.
I should have used that as the example. But yes, that is sort of what I'm kind of going with here. How do you do that if you're a team now that has to kind of recalibrate entering that week?
The notice, and you know the notice is going to get shorter and shorter. Once they get it in, soon they'll be doing it that Sunday. They'll be telling you that, oh, we're playing again Thursday.
For sure. It's like our page views. Oh, great job, the best show ever. Now here's 50,000 more page views you need.
Remind me.
What happened?
I missed that opportunity today to make a scene in a spectacular fashion, and I didn't do it. And you know how rare I actually get to make a scene in a spectacular fashion. I only get to make small scenes.
I would like to see a big scene.
A spectacular one.
I never get to do it. And today was the chance, because I've seen other people use what we did today to do it, and I missed the opportunity. I went in there with a positive attitude.
You did.
Like an idiot. Let's go to the phones. Scott in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Scott?
Hey, my birthday, too. Just Sunday was my birthday.
Oh, happy
that
belated.
Was mine, too. Happy birthday.
And my dad's, yeah. Happy belated.
Yeah, it was a great birthday. And I got to say some positive things about the people in this city, in Philadelphia. I had free drinks being brought for me. I had a stranger buy me a couple of shots. Had a great time watching the Heat beat the Celtics real bad. But it was very positive. I wasn't expecting to have a real good time like that. Not all my birthdays have been great, but it was a really good one, this past one. And on the subject of sameness, too, I would like to see more sameness, like more of the attitude of a Jalen Hurts, like the real desire for excellence and the real he talks about hunger and being and starving for it and like being committed to it, and that kind of attitude I'd really like to see more and be
Scott,
more in this city.
Scott, 99% of athletes strive for excellence. If only it was that simple.
He articulates it so great.
He says it well. But like Carson Wentz, when he was here, he wanted to succeed. He failed, but every time he went out there, he was trying to succeed. Sometimes I think we go with the result and link that with desire. I'm telling you, the Sixers badly wanted to win. They just didn't. But it wasn't because they didn't want to. And not for nothing, Eagles lost that Super Bowl after being up double digits at halftime. Did the Chiefs want to win more than the Eagles, or did the Chiefs execute and play better than the Eagles?
They have more experience, and Mahomes is excellent.
Well, but on that given day, they played better. And thanks for the call. I'm just saying that the desire, when you see a Ben Simmons, that's the outlier. These all athletes all want to be great. They just, it's not easy to be great. And at the end, one team's going to win the title. So when it's Miami versus Denver, I know we will go, oh, it's who wants it more. It's barely ever that. Which team is better on those days decides it more. Because, like Ricky.
Everybody's going to want it.
Right. When you played on your teams, obviously you weren't winning World Series every single year.
Right.
But didn't the vast majority of the teammates give it all they had and then some just did better than others?
Vast majority?
Yes.
I would say there could have been 60-40 percentage.
In baseball.
I think there were guys out there that got lazy during a season. So I wouldn't say gave it their all every single night.
In baseball.
But I mean, to me, I was full bore all the time. So I didn't, you know, regardless of what was going on, I wanted to win every game.
I'd have to imagine, though, the teams that were, and this is no shot on where, you know, some of those teams were, but if you're in a NLCS or an NLDS, it's not 60-40. Those teams are probably...
No. Once you get to that point, once you're in the run, especially like late in the season, yeah, everybody's on the same page. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly. And for the caller to bring up Jalen Hurts, if everybody was like Jalen Hurts, then what Jalen Hurts provides isn't as appealing. You can't have every single athlete sound exactly the way that Jalen Hurts sounds,
Let me be honest with you. If every athlete sounded like Jalen Hurts, I would have went into a different field.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm working here. If every athlete sounds like Jalen Hurts, I'm not going to work here.
You don't like his cliches.
Rent is due every day. No, we know it's not. Like, it's what works for him. Yeah. But imagine if Allen Iverson sounded like Jalen Hurts.
No, he wouldn't be Allen Iverson.
Well, you know, practice is very important because rent is due every day. Sure, my best friend just died, but you're right. I should have been at practice on time, even though my best friend passed away, and none of you guys seem to care about that. Yes, I know you're talking about practice. Yes, Larry Brown said I've missed 99 million practices, and even though I do not think it's true, I will say that practice is just as important as a game. And by practicing, my teammates who are limited talent will become very talented. That would not have been legendary.
No.
That would not have been legendary.
Speaking of AI, apparently NBA TV is going to premiere a new special called Everything But the Chip with the 2001 Sixers. So it looks like who's in this? Interviews include Allen Iverson, Larry Brown, Pat Croce, Billy King, Shaq, and Stephen A. Interested?
I don't think that's going to make me feel any better.
I would say no.
It'll be sameness.
This is what I need. People like you need to watch that. The Utes that don't know anything need to.
Whoa.
You weren't around. You don't remember that.
No, I was 8 years old. You know, it's not like I had the same investment as others at that time.
You should make sure you watch it.
I was planning on watching it.
You should watch it.
I think it's intriguing.
Everyone, I mean, if you want to watch it, watch it. But it should be mandatory for everyone 30 and under. Mandatory for everyone 30 and under. Mandatory.
I can sign up for that.
To really understand just how little AI was working with.
And since I just turned 24, I will watch it.
Yes.
That's right, Jen.
Yes, that is correct. That is absolutely correct. Back to the phones. Dennis on the cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
I would just like to say that what I did for my birthday.
What'd you do?
I drove to my grandmother's house.
Well, you got something on in the background. Could you turn that down, please?
Yes. I drove to my grandmother's house. I sat in front of it. And I sat there 10 minutes. And 10:20 came. And that's when I was born, 79 years ago, when I said, Mom, thank you very much for bringing me into this world. I appreciate it. Have a good life. And thank you. And I drove away.
That's very deep. That's lovely.
That's very, very nice, Dennis. Thanks for the call. That's very nice. That's very nice from Dennis. You know. Yeah, it was nice. 610-632-0975. Mike and Delran, not worried about the flexing. You're 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Well, man, I just got drunk and did other stuff on my birthday a couple weeks ago. I got, man. Oof. Yeah. I'm failing at life.
Hey, no, I think you're doing all right, Mike.
So just help me with the details of this flexing thing, because from what I understand, it can only happen twice, right?
Well, for your particular team, it's going to happen every week.
Oh, it's gonna right. So it can only happen twice per team. But like, they have the right to exercise. It doesn't mean they're going to, right? Like, because I think
No. They're definitely going to do it. That's why they put it in so late. They're going to use it every single week, unless they happen to luck into a great matchup.
That's because all those Thursdays games are nobody wants to watch the Saints Texans like on a Thursday. Because I agree, I didn't like it either. I don't want Thursday football, but if I have to have it, I want to at least watch something decent. But I had a Sixers question, if you guys would. Good.
Sure.
So I heard earlier, right, the whole odds of where LeBron would go, right? Mm-hmm. Sixers are like the second. Like, I don't really care. Either way, at this point, I'm still in a dark place. But do you think if he would have chose Philadelphia the first time, we would have had a championship?
A championship. You have more than one championship.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But it wouldn't just be because you had LeBron. Those role players would end up being better off the strength. LeBron has pulled more than any other player in the whole league. Like, you notice how KD keeps changing, and LeBron changed the team around him out there in L.A., like he changed the roster. So if he got out here and he didn't believe the Anthony Melton was going to make shots in the big moments, LeBron would be sure to get rid of him again and have a different player who would make shots, those kind of role players. So
he would play GM.
Yeah, so him and Embiid. Now, you know LeBron's going to have the ball. He's going to have Embiid in the right spots. And most importantly, when he makes the right pass, because LeBron always does the right basketball play, he's going to have more capable players there. Because whatever we think about Embiid, he actually isn't a bad teammate that goes around, like, demanding to get rid of players and stuff. LeBron does do that routinely.
Yep. And your last point, AI, look what he had. Tyrone Hill was a starting four. Tyrone Hill wouldn't be on any roster to playoffs now. Go Birds!
Go Birds. I beg to differ about my friend Tyrone Hill.
Oh, he took a shot at
Tyrone
one of your guys,
Hill
huh?
Would be a five in today's game and would have been a better backup than Altamir Paul Reed. Tyrone Hill would be a backup five in today's game and rebound and make that foul line jump shot. The Crypt Keeper would have been in the league still, I fully believe.
Are you just saying that?
No, I really believe it.
Okay, because sometimes you hit us with that sarcasm.
We can go down the roster if you ever want, and I could go in and out the league. Eric Snow?
Come on, man.
I would say no.
Eric Snow? I would say no. All right? Matt Geiger?
I would say no.
Because, he's a stretch five, but he was always perpetually out of shape. He wouldn't move well enough to be in today's game.
What if he came off the bench for 10?
No.
Just 10. You don't need him to move that much.
Theo Ratliff, absolutely still
okay,
in the league.
Good call.
Solidly. Aaron McKee, absolutely solidly in the league. Todd McCullough.
I would say no.
Nazi Muhammad.
I would say no.
I'm going the Sheriff Rodney Buford.
I would say no.
I'm telling you, like a lot of them. But I'm saying Tyrone Hill would be. George Lynch would still be in the league.
I love it. It's bad. It's bad to roll through some of these names, man.
Rajah Bell would still be in the league.
Yes, he would.
Like, they weren't that bad. But, George Lynch would be like P.J. Tucker. Yep, he would absolutely be in the league. Yeah. But there'd be some guys on that squad. And they definitely wouldn't be starters getting big minutes. Mutombo.
What? Come on. No, stop.
No?
No, stop it.
Man, you can't come into the league with that limited skill set that Mutombo had.
But he would probably add it to the skill set knowing where the league was going.
How come he didn't add to it while he was in the league?
Well, with where the league was going. You could get away with it more back then than you could now.
He's in there. As a basketball team, he couldn't catch a basketball. He's
like Rudy
knocking it around. knocking around.
Rudy Gobert. He could have played way better in, you know, 90s, late 90s. You don't think? Compared to now where the game has transitioned so much more to the three-point line?
I'm going to tell you something.
Would they have put him out there?
Rudy Gobert significantly more skilled than Dikembe Mutombo on the offensive end. And he stinks. I'm telling you, I'm not sure Mutombo could play in today's game. I don't believe, maybe he'd be in the league, but I'll give you a player that he'd be worse than. I mean, I gotta think about it. I gotta think about the centers, not that many centers.
I think you're disrespecting Mutombo here.
I kind of agree with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What would he do on offense?
Well, that wouldn't be his strong
suit. No. I didn't ask you what he would do well. I'm just saying, what would he do on offense in today's game?
Dunker spot.
You knew he was going to hate that.
Set a screen, and then maybe roll, get a little alley-oop.
He's not setting a screen.
Give him a screen.
Screen. Why would I not go just over the screen? I'm not afraid of him.
Well, we need a primary ball handler.
Would he be better than Clint Capella in today's game?
I believe so.
Based on what?
I think he could be better than Clint Capella. I mean, let's not act like Clint Capella here is some star in this league.
He's in the league.
We're going to look at Mutombo's career and act like the dude didn't deserve. Like,
oh, wait. What were his career numbers, Hunter, do you think? Do you have them up?
No, I don't have them up.
What do you think his points per game was?
Come on. He's not some offensive weapon here.
No, he wasn't even. He was 9.8.
Of course.
In that game?
The only thing he could do was rebound.
Now, Patrick Ewing would be in the league. Ewing would be better now. David Robinson would be better now.
I agree with that.
So it's not about the era, but Alonzo Mourning could play in today's game.
It's about skill set, for sure.
David Robinson would have been the best fit in today's game because he could shoot.
Ewing could, too. Ewing was with fallaways. Ewing would probably have stepped out for three. They love him in the garden much more now than they did then.
All I'm saying is Mutombo could play in the game today.
I agree with you.
He could play.
I don't know.
I'm not telling you he's going to be a superstar.
Now, Theo Ratliff could, because he could cover ground. He could set that screen and dive with a lot more athleticism.
I can't believe that we're even debating if he could hang.
Mark Eaton. There's a lot of centers from today that I don't know how much Bill Cartwright could have played in today's game.
Mark Eaton would have taken up a lot of space. He was a big boy.
3 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Maximum.
He's Niang.
Three.
Although without shooting.
I'm just saying.
Tell me what Niang is without shooting.
He just runs around
in the league without shooting.
He just runs around, knocks people over.
Let me know what a George Niang is without his threes.
I'm going to look up the whole roster.
Couple
real
dribble
fast.
Drives.
Now you got me all intrigued. All right. Raja Bell would be in the league.
Roddy
Buford would not be. Geiger would not be. Tyrone Hill would be at 6'9", 240 as a backup five. AI obviously would still be great. Don't know about that Jumaine Jones in today's game. Tony Kukoc would be in the league. He was there for part of the year before they made the trade. George Lynch, yes. Todd McCullough, no. Oh, yeah, Vernon Maxwell was on there for a little while before they had to cut him. He could play in today's game. He could make the three ball. Aaron McKee, yes.
Didn't someone bring up Anthony Miller the other day? Or no, am I crazy? Didn't someone? No.
Rashad McCloud, no. Nazee Muhammad, no. Kevin Ollie, yes. Because he was a real floor general.
Backup.
He'd be a backup just like he was then. Pepe Sanchez, no. Eric Snow, no. Because Kevin Ollie was actually a better standstill shooter. But Snow could defend. Maybe Snow would be in the league.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're wavering a little bit.
I think Snow would be in the league.
Okay.
Snow would be in the league.
What's his player comp for a today's player? Hmm. Is there someone?
Oh, like T.J. McConnell.
T.J. McConnell.
Yeah, like he could play better defense than T.J. He shoots it about the same medicine ball jump shots. And he's got good size because he's 6'3". He'd play in the league. I tell you what, the Sixers could have actually used any. They could have used Kevin Ollie or Aaron Snow on this team to have an actual point guard coming off the bench. Now, I think there's better options, but at least they'd be in the league. But I'm telling you right now, Buford, Geiger, Jumaine Jones, Todd McCullough, Rashawn McCloud, Nazi Muhammad would all be out of the league. And they all got minutes. And then Pepe Sanchez. They all got minutes on that Sixers team that made the finals. So kids out there, you need to watch that. I'm telling you, you're going to see Allen Iverson grab guys that wouldn't make, they wouldn't have made the worst team in the league playing the finals thanks to that man. And genius coaching by Larry Brown. Genius coaching. If only Doc Rivers, if Larry Brown was able to coach game six just for half a quarter, the Sixers are now at least probably down maybe 2-1 to the Heat.
Joe Mazzulla won the coaching battle.
610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour coming up. We'll get you a little bit more of that birthday thing and just the sameness. What will be the thing that changes the mojo in Philadelphia sports? What will be the thing? We'll talk about it in the 3 o'clock hour here on 97.5 to NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.75 to Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays every bit as good. We got the whole crew back today. And the word of the day is sameness. Sameness. In Philadelphia sports right now, there's just this malaise of same. So here's a question for everybody. And then we'll go to the phones because people want to talk about some of these role players out there. But what will be the thing? With keep in mind that currently the Sixers have no draft picks. Now, they can use cash and other things to get them. If anything, what will be the thing that will change the mojo and this just sense of flatline sameness in the city of Philadelphia?
Going 5-2 in their seven games against the Braves and the Mets combined over the Memorial Day weekend and after.
Hold on. I didn't say what could. I'm saying what will. Are you predicting the 5-2?
Oh, no, I'm not predicting the 5-2.
No. I'm looking for a prediction from you, from Ricky, and from Jen of what will be the thing that changes this flatline sameness in Philadelphia. It could be a coach getting hired for the Sixers that maybe we're excited about. It could be the Phillies going out there and handle business. What will be the thing that changes? I'm looking for a prediction right here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour.
The coach. It'll be the coach of the Sixers. That would be the next thing that gets us, you know, changing the tone and looking in a new direction. Whether it's Nick Nurse, whether it's maybe Budenholzer, it'll be the head coach because I don't see the Phillies being the one to spiral into control.
See, I think it would have to be the roster if it's going to be the Sixers. So I'm going to go with Trey Turner. Turner's going to turn his garbage around.
That's okay. Where my brain went as well.
So that's a prediction.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not going to stink the way
he's going to tear it up.
He's got to turn it around.
At one point or another, and I think it's going to be sooner than later.
I disagree.
Really?
I think I watched.
You think he's in Castellanos?
Yeah. I mean, I saw this happen last year. Now, Nick Castellanos is having a way better season, but it took him a whole year to get comfortable. I don't know if Trey Turner's comfortable. And for it to be this ugly, he's never really had to deal with this before. Not this level of bad baseball. Is he going to be able to react and automatically snap out of this and be a good player in a couple months? Or does he have to go through this longer until a whole new year comes around and he gets a whole offseason to hit the refresh button? He's never had to battle this level of adversity because he's never played this badly.
Well, I'm hoping not because you don't want to. I mean, let's face it. This is a guy that they brought in here to do damage, not to just sit back and hit a week 270. We don't need that. We already saw that before. This guy's got to step up.
Is there anything, and this is just a question, that Joel Embiid could do on social media or something that, I mean, obviously, because he's not going to play a game for a while and the playoffs aren't going to come around for another 11 months. Is there anything Joel Embiid could do on social media or something to get the people going a little bit, or do we have to just wait till next year?
I don't think so, because I think the fan base with him might even go with a regular season mindset of, I don't care about what you do in the regular season. Just show me in the second round of the playoffs that you can ball out. So if I don't know if regular season's going to move people. I doubt a social media post is.
Yeah, well, I'm not buying that either.
Because his posts have in the past moved the needle.
No, maybe if he put something out there about how much I'm looking for answers here, but you know, there's speculation with some fans after the series finished that Joel Embiid should be gone, this and that. If he commits to Philly on a social media post and says, like, what happened is unacceptable, I'm back in the lab, we're going to work, I'm going to get this championship for Philly, could that move people emotionally?
I think it would resonate, yeah.
You think so? I think people will say, we'll see it on the court. Let's see it on the court.
Talk's
not going to work right now. Not from him, it's not.
I tend to believe you're correct, because everyone's frustrated with the second round exits, and until he has a better outing than he did in game 6 and game 7, it seems to already be sunken into the fan base.
Unless he posts, can't wait for LeBron to be joining me.
Or he could also ask out. Like, if you get to the point where the city doesn't rock with you, and the only thing that'll satisfy is a championship, why stay?
I see where you're going.
That would be a problem.
Well, no. Think about it. See, because here's the thing. Like, the anger is rightful. What I'm saying is, if he gets to the point, like with Dame, they're never mad at Dame out there in Portland. So he can stay there forever, and they love him. Every year, Embiid will be less loved that he doesn't win a title. Does it behoove him to stay? Because if he goes through, wins MVP again, if he doesn't win a title next year, this time next year, they'll like him less. Not more.
But here, the plot changes every year, but the ending is always the same.
Right, that's the same. This is
people
what I mean.
People are sick of it.
And with that in mind, he did play hurt, and it's not his fault he got hurt. Now, I can understand people being exasperated with the fact that he always gets hurt. Different story. What I'm saying is, he didn't do anything wrong to get hurt. He wasn't like a Ben Roethlisberger motorcycle accident. It wasn't that. He just got hurt. So, and he played through the injury, which in Philadelphia we used to love, but we don't even like it when he does that. Forget if you're a Philadelphia fan. Then we'll go to the folks. If you were Embiid's advisor, would you tell him you must come back with the Sixers?
I wouldn't say you must come back with the Sixers, but I would make him lean towards returning.
Why?
Yeah, why?
I just don't know if I'm at the point where I'm demanding out of town yet. I'm trending in that direction.
No. You're his advisor.
You're his advisor.
You are telling him to go where he wants to win and where he thinks he could be comfortable. That's what you're telling him.
Yeah, he's your best friend. If he comes to you and you eliminate your fact that you're a Philadelphia fan and you know this particular situation, there's no coach and likely your number two player's out of here.
Yeah, it's hard to say that I would look at my best friend and say, this is the place that you should stay.
Isn't the pressure automatically going up where he goes, though? Because
he'd probably be a number two wherever he goes.
Or he's with a better supporting cast.
But exactly. They have to win a championship or else he's going to get criticized.
He's got to get right, but it's not. Yeah, but
But it won't fall all on him.
Yeah, what if he says, you know what? You go get Ayton. I want to go play with KD and Booker. There's not more pressure on him there. Even though the team pressure would be they have to win a title. He got KD and Booker. There's no way that's more pressure.
And it's Phoenix.
Right, it's Phoenix. That's a much easier job than what's ahead of him in the city of Philadelphia.
I didn't envision him going to a team with KD and Booker in my hypothetical.
You got a center who wants out who's on a max contract. So you got to match some money. You get a young center. We get Joel Embiid. I got KD and Booker. And Chris Paul's corpse.
I'd boycott if I had to watch this team in Philadelphia after that.
I'm not. What I'm saying is, the sameness part, like while we're mad at him, it shows you. How mad are we at him, really?
I'm not as mad at him as everybody else is.
No. I'm saying let's take the maddest fan. How mad are they at him, really? Because if he did that, you would be getting a max player in return who's young and healthy, who was just in the playoffs. He's been in the playoffs every year of his career.
He's going to Milwaukee.
Maxie and Ayton?
Yeah.
That's what we're running with?
Well, what?
With PJ?
That would be none of his concern at that point.
be my concern.
Well, of course. See what happens?
Right.
You see how the tides turn?
All right.
I just don't think it's time for, if I'm the advisor.
Greener, I get it.
Yeah, you're right. But if I'm the advisor, I don't think now is the, it's trending in the direction to start maybe demanding
you know
some
what?
Things,
see,
but not
right,
now.
You're not playing the advisor. You are playing a Philadelphia
fan.
Sixers
no,
fan.
I don't
if
think
I'm him, I'm saying
me.
Demand your way to Portland to play with KD and Booker,
yep.
And then tell them you take Ayton and like it. And I tell you what, if I fail out there, yes, it's bad, but I'll share it with Booker and KD to blame. And if I win, I was the missing piece. Look at all the credit KD got when he won with the Warriors. You will give that dude finals MVP? They make the finals every year without him. Think about how he'd be crowned the hero. The Suns, they needed that final piece. He went there just like Charles Barkley from Philadelphia out to Phoenix, and now they're victorious.
They would tie that together, wouldn't
they? Man, it writes itself,
it
man.
Does write
it writes itself, man.
Got to take your fandom out of it.
Along the way, KD has a game where he scores 50, and they give Embiid credit for beating Jokic in a playoff game when KD scored 50.
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. This hypothetical is getting outrageous.
Okay.
That's coming from me.
Hypothetical Tyrone, just off his rocker. Is it that crazy for him to demand his way out?
Yes.
One, that's not that crazy.
No. Nope.
And is it Phoenix with him with his relationship with KD and with Booker there actually make a lot of sense on paper? And the Suns would have some nice little assets to give you. Well, like Ayton. Not a lot of picks. You got to get a third team involved.
One. DeAndre Ayton.
Talking about he's a max level center.
Oh, yeah?
He's got more heart than Embiid. Fans will talk themselves into it. He's got more heart than Embiid.
They do that.
They would actually talk about it. We would get calls happy about it. Not from Eric, from some.
All right, how about this? We get this super team down in Phoenix, or out in Phoenix, but Ayton and Maxey face them in the finals.
All right, let's go to the
Come
finals.
Come on, you're not going to play into that at all.
I can't. No.
Come on, PJ Tucker was your HH
for the day.
That's a team that fights at the end, and Ayton and Maxey get them out of the play-in into that sixth seed. That's what they would do. They'd get out of that. They'd be the sixth seed.
Wow. Can't do that.
Well, so how mad are we at them, really? It's one of those situations like you're mad at your wife, but you won't get divorced, so you ain't that mad. That's what I mean.
That's where the bar has to be mad?
This is a divorce. Yes, you're mad, but you're not that mad. This is a sleep on the couch anger.
Okay, well,
this
hopefully
isn't a divorce anger.
Okay, well, hopefully Embiid's in the sleep on the couch anger.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Fadi Allo, you're on 97.5
yes.
Fanatic.
Yes.
How you doing?
Oh, my God. Great song, first time caller.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I love this. So earlier I was listening to the radio about Mutombo, mm-hmm. Allen Iverson. I'm sorry to say, Joel Embiid never get a championship in Philadelphia. Never. These people, they okay player, but they never give their heart to the city. The last game, 5 minutes or 6 minutes, you gotta get it there, get your heart. You play in city Philadelphia, get the ball, get to the basket, do your MVP, get the foul, win the game. He's gonna go back to Boston. Of course, he's gonna scratch you.
Yeah,
I don't like to support somebody hurt my heart all the time. That's why I don't like to say.
So
that's the problem for these people.
But isn't that part of the fandom though? Getting your heart broken, isn't that part of the deal?
I don't like that. Listen, you gotta pay for it. Get the ball every night. Do the practice. Let the city have some championship, man. Since 2001. Come on.
I hear you, but is it being heartbroken and going through all of it part of being a fan?
It is heartbroken to see all the time they go
mm-hmm.
like this kind of stuff, little injury, go out. You know, it's better sometimes to get maybe younger player, you know, let them better to come back to the championship. But
so,
I don't see this.
So thing. A younger center like DeAndre Ayton, perhaps, for Joel Embiid, maybe that'll change up the mojo. See, thanks for the call, Fadiola. I told you.
We can't be doing this.
610-632-0975. That sounded like a reasonable individual. So on the other side, Flay will be good. We'll talk to Arthur. And then this sameness. So it's now all, according to y'all, well, two of you, it's all on Trey Turner to turn it around. In Hunter's mind, it's on the Sixers to hire an impressive coach. But we all agree, something has to change. and we'll talk about it here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. We're talking about the sameness out there in sports right now, just the same. And it may be that the Phillies lost in different ways. Like, they didn't get runners in scoring position 77 times and get one hit. Like, they just do the same stuff all the time. There is one positive I can say. Schwarber's back on above a 40 home run pace after hitting another one. That dude is a real power hitter in the modern era.
Did you see how fast that ball got out last night?
It's unbelievable. It was a rocket.
It was a freaking missile.
Like, my goodness, this thing. Like, that guy, I don't care what the... See? But before we get back to the folds, don't you got a little stat there? You had a little stat?
Yes, I do have this stat.
About Trey Turner. You got... Hold on. Now, listen, guys. Both Jen and Ricky, you guys said the thing that's going to change the sameness in Philadelphia sports is him. Well, I'll now give the floor to the birthday boy, Hunter Brody.
Okay, Trey Turner in the World Baseball Classic. 6 games, 5 home runs, 11 RBI. With the Philadelphia Phillies, Trey Turner, 45 games, 4 home runs, 10 RBI.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel?
You're absolutely right.
Maybe it's wishful thinking on my part.
I don't think it's wishful thinking because the guy should play up to his numbers at some point.
Yeah. He should.
So it's just ticking me off when we're going at this, but it's the truth.
See, here's my fear, and I'm not just saying this. I truly do have a fear with this. He's never experienced this before. So is it going to go so south that he's just in a spiral and can't get himself out? Or can he grind away? Like Kyle Schwarber, for example, the slow start doesn't faze him. I do this every year. June comes around and I'm good. He's never dealt with this.
But he still hits for that power.
He does.
No matter, even if he's batting a 90, 090, all of his hits will be home runs, so he's always dangerous. Turner doesn't seem like a dangerous baseball player right now.
No, he looks afraid of the box.
Schwarber is dangerous still.
It's kind of funny, because last night that base hit he had to right field, everybody was all happy. He went the other way with the pitch. Take a good look at that swing. He's trying to pull the ball. He hit it off the end of the bat.
Well, all right. And then just to help everybody.
I'm just killing my own point, aren't I, right?
A little bit. And here's, listen, tonight is a bullpen game.
Oh, great.
With Strum. And thanks. And Booty dug into his bag. You know, we love Booty. He dug in. And here we go before we get back to the folks. This will help everybody. Just want to remind everybody that Dylan Covey is now added to the roster.
He's going to be. Covey? Apparently.
Okay.
Dylan Covey. All right, so that's strike one, Covey.
Yeah.
All right, strike one.
I prefer Britton Covey. Can he take the mound?
Yeah, I would prefer that. Right, spelled the same as Britton Covey, but it's Covey. Are you kidding me? Anyway, his career record is 6-29. His win percentage, this thanks, Booty, we appreciate this, is the worst of any pitcher in the last 30 decisions in the last 115 years.
At what point does a Major League Baseball executive or president go, yeah, this isn't cutting it? Six and what? What's his record?
29.
6-29. When it's 6-24, you think it's time to maybe quit?
I know analytics people go, win losses don't matter. I tell you what, this is what, right, when you're 6-29, you're doing something wrong.
That's why the Phillies analytics department right now is standing up and clapping, because wins and losses mean nothing to them.
Yeah,
I'm taking my shot.
You got a 171 win percentage. Again, of anybody who's had at least 30 decisions in their Major League Baseball career, this dude's the worst in 115 years. So let's do some math. It's 2023 minus 115. You got to go back to 1908.
No, you said 100. How many years?
50.
Oh, yeah, 1908.
1908.
I remember that season.
All right, let's go.
By the way, there is some non-sameness. The Flyers are playing in a stadium series this year coming up. Hunter should be fired up.
You fired up, Hunter?
Fired
up. Up at MetLife against the Devils.
My last stadium series experience did not go well.
What are you talking about? Everyone knows, because I remember this, Claude. And you know I'm not a Claude Giroux fan, and that's why Florida's up 3-0, because they got rid of Claude. Claude had the big goal, and then the photographer, I want to give credit to the photographer, I don't know their name, had the magical photo where he had his arms to the side and the crowd was going crazy in the bad weather. So if you were there, that's great, right?
I was there until I wasn't there. I made a line change.
What?
In the third period, I decided.
What?
It's raining. This isn't going very well.
You left that game, you dummy.
I'll listen on the radio. The great 97.5 The Fanatic, which you should be tuning into every single day from 6 a.m. to really midnight.
Yeah, every day.
So I just decided to help out the great radio station and listen on my way home to hear Claude Giroux's goal over the Walt Whitman Bridge, driving back to South Jersey. Oof. It's a rough one. I had that picture, though, framed in the man cave.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's a hell of a photo.
That was against your boy, too.
It was, Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, it's a big game.
Yeah, I decided to leave early.
Let's go back to the phones. You feel good about that this
Absolutely week?
Absolutely not. Okay. Flat in Atlantic City. You're on 97.5 for that.
You find that funny, Flat?
No, I'm sorry. It was just, yeah, it was funny.
It was funny.
I love you guys, man. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
And happy birthday, Brody, man.
Thank you.
To get the one thing out of the way, how about Cutter Gaultier getting the hat trick yesterday against France?
Flat, I can always count on you to bring up the good hockey talk.
Oh, wait, hold on. So hey, Hunter, so he's going to be on the team this year, right?
Oh, no, he's going back to Boston College.
He's going to do a little bit. But Jared Avon, who is on runner-up for goalie of the year in the OHL, if you guys check this out, March 3rd, just Twitter it. It's an amazing goal. He goes down on his knee. He gets it back up. He's right mid-net, chases, picks his corner back. It's beautiful. Jared Avon, he's another prospect. But anyway, enough of the Flyers.
I got Flyers.
You can trade Carter Hart.
What's that? No. God almighty, we never trade Carter Hart. That's the worst thing in the world. Right. But anyway, To the baseball, Trey Turner, yeah, Ricky, I agree 100%. We pay that man the damage. He's not doing it. I don't know what it is, and it bothers me, but I haven't lost total faith yet. But then again, to the big elephant in the room, which is Embiid, like you mentioned, you know, take your fandom out of it. If you're the advisor, you know, this is tough for me to say. I mean, I love Embiid. You know what I'm saying? I would say this. I would say, hey, man, you just got to do what's best for you. And in my mind, I'm obviously going to be throwing certain types of ways, this and that. That said, there's a kid named Sandro Mamukelashvili at the Spurs that kid is blowing my mind. And I've been watching this game. If we can get him in there, maybe make a deal with get another point guard. But not another point guard. He's got Maxey.
Nah, but the Spurs aren't going to take your calls.
I like them.
Spurs aren't taking your calls. So, no. What do you think about DeAndre Ayton?
Pair with Ayton. That's what I meant. To pair with Ayton. If Sandro could be the power forward and then Ayton, I think it's a good. If you check this kid out, check him out. He's over at the Spurs. He's a new guy. But, yeah.
This is a max contract. Thanks for the call, Flat. Like, what do we say about these trades? How they gotta be possible? Stacy in Lebanon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Stacy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Y'all gotta stop this MB nonsense, bruh.
What nonsense?
You're trading him. That's nonsense. He had nobody around him.
No, he did. And Embiid did come up short himself. Embiid's not blameless. What I'm saying is, if you're sitting there now, where right now, the only way to get the stench of what he did off of him is to win a championship. That's the only way. The fans aren't going to settle for anything less.
You play ball, right, Tyrone?
Yeah, but I also didn't play. I also never got in a spot where it was championship or bust. And that's what the Sixers are now. And they don't have a championship roster.
You had a bad game. So when you have teammates, your teammates are supposed to pick up when you have a bad game.
Yeah, and game six, pick up more than seven. Him.
You got Tobias. You got P.J. Tucker with your liabilities in scoring. Liabilities.
Stacey, let me ask you this right now. The Boston Celtics are down 0-3. Is it on Tatum and Brown, or is it on the surrounding pieces not picking up the stars?
It's the surrounding pieces.
Really?
Not on the stars. Now, I will say this. In being that it did get to seven, I feel comfortable saying that Melton should have made some more of those wide-open shots. P.J. Tucker in game six.
I agree with that.
That Embiid created for them, that I can say. But still, ultimately, Embiid is most at fault.
Yeah, but you got P.J. Tucker is averaging, 3 points a game?
Yes, but at the end, being that it played out the way that it played out, the person most responsible is for the failure is still Joel Embiid.
When the Celtics beat us, it was even scoring on their team.
It was. They have a better roster. But that even more puts the onus on Joel Embiid. And thanks for the call. I will grant you, though, that in game six especially, and we talked to Coach Lynam about it after the that was Embiid made the right call, according to Coach, and we trust Coach, to make those passes to Melton in the corner. And Melton going 0 for 5 with all five of those threes being wide open. That is on him. And the Celtics and the Heat and the Nuggets have players who would make those shots. But the blame still lies with Embiid. And the only way to clear him of that is to win a title. And let me ask you this. Do you truly want to answer this on the other side? Not going to be me. You don't want to go by me. Hunter, Ricky, and Jen on the other side will answer this before we get back to the phones and we got Hunter's History Minute. Do you think the Sixers have a championship roster? We'll be back on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. We're on pipe during the break.
All right.
We're on pipe during
the
break.
Need me to take over for a second?
Yeah. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll.
Okay.
Which we have to do anyway with Jed Squirt.
Yes, we do have to do that, don't we? So what concerns you the most about the Phillies right now? Starting pitching, runners in scoring position, coaching, or fielding? Starting pitching still winning at 72% right now.
All right. All right.
All right.
You back?
Yeah.
You feel comfortable yet? Or?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Do you need a water or something?
Oh, he's got it. That's what caused the issue.
Oh, okay.
See, I blame Coach. Because Coach came in here and started to make all this ruckus, making jokes.
That's what he does.
And then here we go. We can't drink the water properly. So, I think Coach needs a suspension.
A timeout?
A suspension.
You know
suspension.
All about timeouts.
A full-on suspension.
Wow.
I mean, it interrupted the show. He says,
he could have been hurt.
Right. Most importantly, he could have been hurt.
Right.
But he wants to make a good product on the air. Well, that's great. Until we don't have our lead guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been a rough injury.
Now, listen. I asked the question before the break that we have to answer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We know that with Embiid now in this city, it's gotten to the point where it's championship or bust, which I'm not against. I'm just saying that's where we are. Do them. We'll go around the horn. You guys answer it. Do the Sixers have a championship roster?
No. And it's gotten even worse now that I'm seeing the Eastern Conference Finals and seeing what they're missing. We touched on it yesterday. We thought it was one or two issues. We're finding out it's maybe four or five just because of where the roster is. No, I don't think they have a roster that can win a championship right now.
Ricky, do you think they have, unlike the Phillies, who we think maybe they do have a championship roster in the Phillies' case, they're just not playing well. Do the Sixers have a championship roster?
No, and I don't think it's even close right now. Not yet. I think, obviously, they need some bench pieces. They need another starting shooter. And then maybe they'll be there. They need a coach, too, which wouldn't hurt the situation.
Jen?
A coach is important. No, they don't have a championship roster. Not at all.
Here's the hardest thing to get, though. A player that's as skilled as Joel Embiid.
I agree.
They have that.
That's true.
Yeah,
so
I
the
agree
other
with that.
Pieces that they need to find... If you're looking at the hardest and the easiest thing to do, if you're Morey, you got the hardest piece. Now it's time to get creative.
Yeah, you got the hardest piece, but does that hardest piece want to stay here?
I believe for now he does, but...
We're hoping,
but at the same time, usually when it gets to championship or bust situations, you need drastic moves. You got to move heaven and earth when it gets to that point. That's all. It's just we're at one of those points. So, Yeah, and coming up, the birthday boy, Hunter Brody, and then Jen's birthday just passed. Jen had at least a 10-person birthday extravaganza.
I did. I roll thick. What do you want me to do?
Ew. Every time I see your Instagram story, it's just booze everywhere.
There was a lot of adult beverages. There was a lot of really good food.
Anything crazy happened? Give us some wild stories. Someone went missing into the night.
No snitching.
Oh, okay.
No, there was an allergic reaction that happened, though, at one point Saturday night.
What? Did I hear Smith?
We're not quite sure. To my girlfriend, Joanna. To where, like, we had to go and get Benadryl, and she's fine. Everything's fine. But, yeah, there was a little bit of that. But mostly it was just fun and games and some champagne and some brunch and some delicious dinners. And
so what are you going to do for your birthday? You having a brunch for your birthday tonight?
I'm swapping trucks with my mom because she needs to use my pickup to move her aunt.
That sounds very exciting.
So that's what I'm doing tonight for my birthday.
Now, my birthday was also on Sunday. It was on a weekend, so it was a little bit different.
Yeah, but yours, if it's Tuesday, you celebrated last weekend. So did Broads take you for some brunch?
We did dinner at a Mexican place
that's good.
Sunday night. To do a little happy birthday.
Don't you always do that, though?
No.
That was a special thing?
Yeah, we'd never been to... No. We don't go out to eat like that on a Sundays at the Mexican places.
Did she buy you a nice shot of tequila?
No.
Yeah, did you have any tequila?
No tequila.
A little Miller Lite.
Miller Lite, though. Thanks, boys. I appreciate it. Thanks, Ty. You got me a nice 30 rack of Miller. Yeah.
I almost did the same thing.
That'd
I had
great.
The same thought in my head. I was like, I'm going to have a case of beer.
Walk into the wife, have 60 Millers on the shoulders.
Rhodes would hate good. Us.
No, she would love it.
Okay.
She's a Miller's woman.
A Miller's man.
She is a Miller's man.
Now, Booty's right. The Heat don't have a second star, and they're in the finals. So maybe the Sixers don't need another star. But the Heat have more reliable players. Is it possible to surround Embiid with more reliable players so that in a game six, when he makes the right basketball play, a la LeBron or whoever it might be, that guy makes those open shots? Is that gettable this offseason?
I think it is. And that's probably if Harden wants out and they can't get the sign and trade. It might have to be the way you go based off your current mold and what your roster is. And I'm willing to see if it works because I'm watching it now. There is a recipe for it. I'm seeing it. If I never saw it before, maybe I would feel differently. But I'm willing to at least be open to the conversation.
Because when Butler kicks it out to Strus or Robinson.
Or Martin.
Martin or Gabe Vincent.
Duncan. Yeah, Robinson. Yep, you said that. Yep.
Kevin Love is swish, 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 swish. And with Melton, it was clang, clang, clangity, clang.
Don't forget, Kevin Love got hurt, and they don't have Tyler Hero, and they still kick their ass heavily.
Yeah. All right, back to the phone.
They play like a team.
John in the Northeast. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hello, John.
Hey, what's up, Tyrone?
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Bad you?
I
know. Say this much. It's one of the best episodes ever.
Oh!
Because you're not all agreeing on everything, which I like. And I
thought you were going to say because you're on it.
Excuse me. In reference to the Sixers and Embiid, it looks like that wind is closing, and it's closing fast. And I think they're just going to accept the fact they can't win anything with him. I can't compare them to Miami because you guys were just talking about the other night with Love not playing, and you think of Pat Riley, and you think of all them undrafted players. We never have anything like that. Seems like we're totally devoid of talent and a bench.
Are you disrespecting Robert Covington and his great progression over the years? You're right, though. There's no way. And even if there was, right, like because you're in the win now mode, you don't have time for these players to develop because we need guys who can do it right now based off of where Embiid is in his career. You don't even really have that. That's where it's like I was even concerned, not that I wanted to move on from anybody, but throughout the last couple of years with Tyrese Maxey, I didn't know where the timelines were of Joel Embiid and James Harden with Maxey, letting him get the experience he needs to be what we think he can be.
I think he's going to be the veteran on the team.
Well, I mean, yeah,
I hope
both good and bad.
Let him go somewhere else.
So you want Embiid to go somewhere else? So you want to become the Washington Wizards?
Yeah, whatever. We're not going to win a championship with him.
But the
Embiid,
thing is,
we'll go to the second round.
Which player did you just talk about before Embiid?
Maxey.
You just brought up Maxey, right, John?
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, I know.
Right. So if he keeps getting better, right, and then you get rid of Embiid, and you're not going to get value back, you're never going to get bad enough to get a player to pair with Maxey.
Yeah,
so then you won't win a title that way either. Thanks for the call. Maybe you're right, and you say you're not going to win Embiid. I think it's winnable, but he hasn't won yet.
I don't like that phrase, though. You hear it all the time. You'll never win with this guy. Well, first off, it's so hard to win that you can say that about every single guy until they eventually win.
Well, I think Denver's going to win the finals. So does that mean you can't win with Jimmy Butler when he loses in the finals again?
No, I think you can win with Jimmy Butler.
Right. So you can't win with somebody till you do. But I'm saying Maxey's too – people are not recognizing this, and I keep saying it. Maxey's too good to where if you tear it down – and you keep him, your team's not going to get bad enough. Oh, your team could be bad with Maxey on it, but not stink bad. And that's where you need to be to get the top guys. You're not going to get the stink. And you're going to be like playing level because he's going to continue to ascend. So that's where they're in a weird spot. And you don't trade the 22-year-old when you're doing a rebuild. The Sixers are in a spot where it behooves them to try to continue to try with Embiid rather than move on. Now, Jen, real fast before we get to Hunter's History Minute.
Yes.
There's a country singer named Pillbox Patty.
What?
That's news to me. Like a current country singer?
She's at Tidal Wave.
It's a she? What's her name?
Pillbox Patty.
Oh, I see her here.
I've never heard of her.
Okay.
I know Jelly Roll. Mm-mm. He is also a country artist currently.
No, it's a Tidal Wave. I don't know. Mm. Thomas Rhett, I've heard of.
Yep, big time.
Cole Swindell, I've heard of.
Went to college with him.
Yeah, he went to college with everybody. Joe D. Messina, I've heard.
Joe D. Messina. See, now they're going to do something together because, well, I won't get into it, but they'll probably be on stage together.
But it says, like, I don't know, down the ways, you skip a couple people, it says Pillbox Patty. I was like, who the hell is that?
I don't know. I can't help you
with
that.
She's got some weird titles to her songs. Brenda, put your bra on.
Did you go to her website?
No, I'm on Wikipedia.
The first thing you see is, it says Pillbox Patty, Florida. Is that the name of her new album?
I don't know. Why did this come up? Did something happen?
No, because you go on there, the only thing you see is her cleavage.
Where's this at?
Where do I need to go?
I just want to verify that what you're seeing is correct.
It's right. PillboxPatty.com.
That's not the reason.
Yes, it has her.
No. That's not why I thought of it.
Right.
Like to be aware of what's going on in the local market, and the single day tickets went on sale.
Oh, I gotcha.
For Tidal Wave.
Gotcha.
The concert thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just happy to look at the lineup.
I see the website there, Ricky. Am I right?
Are you a fan?
It's right there in your face.
Yeah, all right, you got to stay focused now.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's now time, Jim, we started this while you were out. It's now, okay. It's 1 minute. It's Hunter's History Minute, where we give him a prominent person from the 80s or the 90s, and Hunter goes 1 minute of history on that person, and then we go right back to the phones and stuff.
How do you do this for the last? Did you do it yesterday?
I'm very intelligent.
No, we did it Friday for the
Jen,
first
time. You're going to enjoy this.
I'm very intelligent. No.
Friday was Richard Pryor. Yesterday was David Hasselhoff.
Oh, okay. Two good ones to start off with.
How do you think I do today? Based on yesterday's efforts.
I believe you're going to do better today because I think this person might be easier for you.
All right.
Nobody interrupt. It's 1 minute straight. The person today is Flavor Flav. Again.
Flavor Flav. Big sports fan. Always see him at a 76ers game. Reality television. Wears a big chain. There's a show that I should know. Flavor's House of something. Flavor Flav's House of Pain. Tyler House of Pain. I'm combining shows together. But funny, hilarious, big sports fan, and I should know way more. See, this is very disappointing, and I'm kind of running out of time. Dylan's not happy with me as he pulls that up on the screen. I'm lost, and I'm stuck here. This is actually, I think, the worst that I've done so far since we've been here. And this is terrible.
Well, sports can continue.
Sports.
20 seconds.
I hit a wall.
15 seconds.
I hit a wall, and I'm embarrassed.
10 seconds.
Jen, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for everyone that's listening to this.
5 seconds.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That is my 60 seconds of history. How'd I do? What was the reality show?
Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love.
But in the 80s, he was in a rap group called Public Enemy with Chuck D.
Pretty big group.
That's exactly
why I thought
you'd
start. He traveled the world.
No, I always go to the TV show first when I hear a Flavor.
Wasn't he married to Bridget Nielsen?
Well, they weren't married, but they did date. And for real, they ended up having their own show together as well.
Oh, I just watched him. He was with Jersey Shore. He was playing the cornhole with Mike the Situation.
He also had a cousin that played college basketball at Penn State. I thought that's where you were going when you said sports fan.
No.
New York.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, said he used to spend a tremendous amount of money on drugs at one point. And then he finally got clean. He said that he blew a lot of his fortune on it. And he made a lot of money because Public Enemy were extremely
popular.
And he actually got a lot of writing credit, so he owns some publishing.
Right.
Because he wrote his parts in all the songs that he was in. He wrote his own parts. So Flavor Flav made a few dollars.
Now, that was the worst one yet.
Well, I thought Flavor Flav, because of the show and stuff, would be one that was gettable.
No, that's a great selection of a person. Like, that's perfect for what we're trying to do. Just horrendous by me.
Poor on your part.
Now, you missed one and two. I thought the first two were very strong.
I'm a big David Hasselhoff fan.
Well, I went right to Baywatch.
I would have loved to hear that.
Skipped not Knight Rider.
Oh, what? I don't believe in that. I went straight to the women in slow motion bouncing up and down.
You barely talked about Hasselhoff.
Let's see if he took anything in. What was the name of his car? Knight Rider.
Oh, the name of the car?
Yes.
We said it to you yesterday.
It's huge.
You didn't say the name of the car.
We did.
You're just making up
crap. And so did people on Twitter that wrote to you, because everybody wanted this car.
The car may have been as equal of a star.
Of a character. As David Hasselhoff was.
You could have done the show without him if you kept the car.
Yep.
Well, then what would the show be without him?
Are you Googling it right now? You don't know it, do you?
The car was kit.
Yeah.
And it had the red mark. It could talk.
You never said that.
Could talk, could drive itself.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether they said it yesterday or not. This is knowledge that you should know.
I went Baywatch for a minute. What's wrong with
I mean, I go Baywatch. You go Baywatch for sure, but you start with Knight Rider.
Friday.
I got a little carried away with what Baywatch provides.
Friday's person was Richard Pryor.
Right.
He was not aware. He went deep into his daughter's tennis career, which didn't happen.
I started with stand-up and said he did a great job in movies, and he married a woman, had a child.
Married a woman and had a child.
And had a child.
Went to Wimbledon. Somehow we went to Wimbledon.
Okay.
So
I'm going to have fun with this new little segment.
Just, 1 minute, Hunter's History Minute. I got to help. Got to give some credit to Booty there.
What's he saying now? He's always chirping.
No. This was, in large part, his idea.
Well, that's why this is going so well.
It's quite entertaining, though.
Yes. All right. Well, he's been patient. So, Arthur in Scottsdale, you're a 97.5 Fanatic.
Yo.
Incorrect.
What's up, Arthur?
Well, first of all, happy birthday, brother. Yo, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday, even though it's late.
Thank you.
Yo, listen. Now, do you realize it's 102 in the desert today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my phone's cooking out here, so it doesn't work that good. You know what I mean? Let's get to sports now. Sixers should have won game six. It's very disappointing and sad.
It is. Well, we're never going to recover.
No. It's
at least I won't.
That's it. They had no heart.
You watching the Diamondbacks this series or no?
Yeah, listen. My favorite team's the New York Yankees. It used to be anybody playing in Boston. Now it's anybody playing Philly. So, yeah, I'm a Diamondbacks fan.
Why do you hate the Phillies so much?
Because don't you remember in 2009, Jimmy Rollins, we're going to win. You guys lost in five.
What are you talking about? When he said that they were the team to beat, they beat your Mets and got into the playoffs, and you guys were home.
The Yankees are the team to beat. The Phillies were frauds. And we should show you that.
And in 09, it was a six-game series that they would have won if Cole Hamels didn't do the whole banquet circuit after 08.
Chase Elliott was on that mission.
Yeah, he was. And that was to get me to the plate, boys. Before.
Oh, my. You know what? I got help for you Philly fans. Everybody in Philly. I just thought of this idea today. Now, you know, since they always break your hearts, Why not tear down all them stadiums, right? Turn that into NASCAR, and you get a winner every week. What do you think of that?
You know what, Arthur? Thanks for the call, buddy. You get a winner every week. What do you think about that? He had that rehearsed.
He's just here to stir the
pot. He wrote that with a stick in desert dirt. All those notes.
Yeah, it wasn't in his iPhone on his notepad.
No, he wrote it in desert dirt with a stick.
Why do I picture him just covered in, like, dirt and dust?
Because he sits outside with his scotch and his cigar in the desert every day.
In ash. Uh-huh. 102 degrees
sitting
outside.
He's sweating and the dust just sticks to him.
All right, I want to get this addressed right now before we go to the 4 o'clock hour and talk to Jimmy Kimski about these new NFL rules. And then we get back to everything. Frank in Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fan. You're saying that the Celtics did not have a better roster. Go ahead and make your case, sir.
Todd. Come on, Ty. You know the game. Now, listen. Sixers should have won game 6, correct?
Yeah.
So, if the Sixers win that game, are you saying the same thing about Boston?
Yep.
Okay, does Boston have a better roster than Miami Heat?
Yep. Yes.
And how are they winning?
Coaching, a lot of things. Our players playing, execution, a lot of things. Yeah. Boston has a better roster man for man than the Sixers do. Absolutely.
Okay. So, now with James Harden, if he's flirting with Houston, let him go because he don't want to win a championship. He's all about a Brinks truck.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But hold on, Frank. I'm concerned about you. Why don't you know that the Celtics have a better roster?
Because Tatum and Brown is just like Joel. Choke artist. Now, let me explain something.
No. We were talking about the roster. They're not choke artists. They were in the finals last year, and they lost to the Warriors. Steph Curry took that thing. It's not about just choking. You got to give credit to the other team.
Ball in the fourth quarter and everything.
Okay, who do the Sixers have coming off the bench that's close to the level of Malcolm Brogdon? Go right ahead.
No one. I'm off that freaking, you got me, Boston's better. But you say the role players of Miami Heat are better than the Sixers.
Yes. They're more reliable players, yes.
And let me tell you why that is. Because Joel wants to play dominant ball and bully ball. He's not a team player.
No, he doesn't.
Wait a minute. We were complaining game 6 that he passed too much. Now, so you're telling me that, Frank, you watched the games. Are you telling me that in game 6, when Embiid got double, he didn't kick the ball out to the corner to P.J. Tucker, Tobias Harris, and Melton, and all those guys missed shots?
They missed them, correct. I agree with that, Todd.
Well, then how's he? Thanks for the call, Frank. And that was just a time thing. We're up against a break. It's not personal. We're up against a break. 610-632-0975. This is what I'm saying. We got to tighten this all up, our narrative. We got to get a collective narrative together. If you're on hold, we'll get to you very soon. At 4 o'clock, we'll talk to Jimmy Kemsky from Philly Voice. We got to get there's some new NFL rules. Some are good. One stinks. And we'll talk to him about it, and then we'll be right back at everything else. Because I don't want to lose track of these rules, because eventually we'll get a call week 8 with somebody going, how come the Eagles weren't allowed or were allowed to do something? Well, we're going to fill you in on the rules, and then we get right back to the conversation here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Five, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975, 4 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. Had a little technical issues. We're working on getting Jimmy Kemsky to explain some of these new NFL rules ASAP. Now, I'm not against these NFL rules. You know, where did they sameness? Changing rules on their own, because, you can always try to make things better. But most of the stuff they do is about money.
They're greedy.
Not about making the game better.
They're greedy. It's all about money. Everything they do, whether it's a TV deal, whether it's this, whether it's that, it's not about the players. It's not about their safety. Tua, last year, do we have to relive that whole thing? It's never about anything other than they want to put more cash in their pockets.
And that's the thing I'm noticing also with UFC. I know it's wildly popular, and I understand people that enjoy mixed martial arts once the fights start. But it seems like all they do now is if you agree with Dana White, then he pushes you and whatever. But if you disagree with him, he basically calls you stupid or soft, and then you don't fight. I'm like, and that's the whole thing? Something about it just feels like those two leagues, very popular, by the way. I'm not telling people to not watch football, But I like the games themselves. I kind of don't like everything around the NFL because I didn't ask for flex Thursdays.
And it seemed very split.
I mean,
when you read up on all this, it seems very split. Oh, the teams could only be switched once, mind you, on that. Well, I did look it up.
Yeah, you could switch once. The thing is, what if you, as a fan, made that travel plan?
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, yeah. And there's nothing you could really do about it. I mean, you're kind of up the creek without a paddle.
Yep.
I mean,
yep, you're right.
And to me, I think it's wrong. I mean, but if you're given what they said, 28 days.
Yeah,
so it's almost a month in advance. I mean, I guess
that doesn't do a fan who's booking now.
No, because you'll end up paying extra somewhere.
Yep. All right. On the line right now to help us out with this. He does a great job covering the Eagles for Philly Voice, Mr. Jimmy Kemsky on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Jimmy?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
No, pretty good. Thanks for coming on. So their NFL made some rule changes. I think one of them is pretty good. And then one I absolutely hate. So let's start positively. Explain to us the new emergency quarterback rule that the NFL has put in place.
Yeah, so obviously they brought that back because the 49ers whined for 4 months after their loss in the NFC Championship game. Technically, the Lions were the ones who proposed it, I believe, at the NFL owners' meetings in March. And it finally got approved, I guess, what was it, yesterday, 2 days, whatever it was. So, yeah, basically the way that'll work is, you know, hour and a half before game time, you know, each team has to reveal to the refs their inactives for that game. If one of those inactives is a quarterback, he can be the emergency quarterback, and he can play if the top two quarterbacks get hurt during the game. If one of those two quarterbacks are fine, like they recover during the game, they have to go back in. So it's really, truly an emergency quarterback kind of thing. I'd actually think it is a fine rule. You know, even if it's funny how he got there because they whined for 4 months, I actually do think that it is a good rule and it makes sense.
I agree with that. And, you know, they're making this big deal as if being on your seventh quarterback in an NFC championship game's got to right. make a difference. But it is better than the alternative, which was having someone with a UCL issue or Christian McCaffrey back there. So it does make sense.
Right.
But let's look at the one that's a little more controversial, which is the flex scheduling for Thursday night games. Fans are going to be making trips and they're going to be scheduling out, you know, all sorts of hotel stuff and whatnot. And then who knows if you're even going to be playing that week. So what are your thoughts on scheduling the Thursday night games and flexing it?
I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, selfishly speaking, I go to every game. So, and you know, like I'm looking at booking my travel now, like literally in May, I'll book my travel typically.
Right.
And, you know, I'm looking at Dallas and Seattle in December. I'm not booking that yet. You know, cause for all I know, those people, well, I guess Dallas won't, but I guess Seattle, could get moved from Sunday into Thursday night. I think that's like a potential game that could get moved. So, you know, buyer be, well, I guess maybe they wouldn't do that because it's road Dallas and then road Seattle. So they probably wouldn't do that to the Eagles. You know, have a road game on Sunday and then another road game right away on Thursday night. So the Eagles are probably going to avoid that, I guess, in 2023. But yeah, I mean, it's a disservice to fans that travel to games, and even if like they're home, you know, you have to sort of amend your plans to go see games. And I think it's pretty clear that, you know, the NFL values the money from Amazon more than it does people that buy tickets to games,
which I guess it is a business. Anyways, let's go to the kickoff rules. I'd like for you to explain the kickoff rules, number one, and tell me your thoughts on it. I know a lot of the special teams coaches aren't real thrilled with this.
Yeah, I've been out today for the most part, but my understanding of that rule is you can now fair catch kickoffs.
Yes.
And it'll automatically go out to the 25-yard line, exactly like the way they have it in college football these days. So, yeah, I can certainly imagine that special teams coordinators don't like it because it makes their job less important if you take away kickoffs, basically. As far as how that affects the Eagles specifically, I actually think it helps them because they don't have a good kick returner anyway. So if they can fair catch it and get it out to the 25-yard line, obviously the strength of their team is their offense. And, you know, they know that the offense can drive, you know, 75 yards and score, you know, probably more often than not. So they're probably certainly can. Actually, whenever they kick the ball into the end zone, you see them do that T motion, as, you know, as if to say, not bringing it out. Ball ends in the end zone. They get it at the 25. They almost never take the ball out of the end zone anyway. So I think you're going to see the Eagles actually doing fair catches quite a bit when teams do kind of trust. There are times where teams were purposely against the Eagles popping it up because they knew that their kick returners couldn't hurt them. Mm-hmm. So I think it actually favors the Eagles, but I can see why a lot of teams don't like this rule.
Going back to this, I was speaking with Jimmy Kemsky, covers the Eagles for Philly Voice. Going back to this Thursday night thing, you brought in your story, and I wanted you to be able to pontificate on that a little bit more. My issue with this is, you can correct me. Have you ever heard fans say, man, these Thursday games, I wish we could flex them. Like, the fans have never asked for this. This is about money. And rather than just say that, as you put in your story, they're saying everything but the actual reason why they're doing it. But since you wrote it, I want to give you a chance to talk about the real reason the NFL's making this change with Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I touched on a second ago where, you know, I mean, Amazon is paying the NFL a ton of money to have these Thursday night games. And last year, they had a lot of really bad Thursday night, a lot of bad matchups on Thursday night. Like, you'd hear Al Michaels, who does the Thursday night games in the booth, complaining about the quality of the games, like, during the game. And, you know, certainly Amazon wants to have better games. And the NFL probably feels like, yeah, well, they're giving us all this money, we probably should make sure they have some good games. And I can understand that, but, you know, maybe just try to schedule better games before the season begins instead of having the option to fight them later in the season. You know what I mean? So, like I said, they value that money from Amazon more than they care about people that are purchasing tickets for games. And the other thing, too, that I thought was funny was there Jerry Jones was quoted as saying, 7% of quote unquote NFL fans have never been, or excuse me, only 7% of NFL fans have ever actually attended as many as one game in their lifetimes, which is the most ridiculous quote I've ever heard in my life. What exactly constitutes, how are they defining quote unquote NFL fan? It's just such a ridiculous statement to be like, hey, what data point exactly is a quote unquote NFL fan? Where are they how are they defining what an NFL fan is and coming up with 7%? It's the most ridiculous garbage like I've ever heard. So whatever. I mean, I would just like it if they came out and said, look, we want money. We like money. Just be honest. We all know what that is. Don't give me this. It's going to be better for the fans because the game might be a little bit better on Thursday night. As you said, nobody was asking for this.
You said that was Jerry Jones, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the same guy that said the Eagles gave away their entire future for their current roster, so he's clueless. But when stuff like this happens, and maybe this is a flawed way of thinking, I always wonder what's next. I do focus on what this change is, but now I'm wondering, where does it go from here? Are there going to be Monday night games that are flip-flopped in week 8, you know, 16, 15, 14 down the road? When is it going to go to an end? And it might be a point, who knows, 20 years down the road, no one even knows an NFL schedule and they make it week by week. I guess you can't roll it out because at this point, they're changing it all the time.
Yeah, and they went from, you know, 16 games to 17 games. Spoiler, it's going to be 18 at some point.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Adding them. So, you know, I don't know when enough money is enough money, but you know, I don't know that anyone's complaining so much about that. I don't mind the extra game or whatever. I think fans are fine with that or whatever. But I should note, too, by the way, Jeffrey Lurie voted yes to this rule. So it passed 24-8. They got the exact minimum number of votes they needed for this to pass. So if one owner that voted yes had voted no, it would not have passed. Jeffrey Lurie voted for this to happen, just to be clear. I think that's a great owner, in my opinion. Certainly does everything he can to make the Eagles a winning franchise, but he did vote yes on this, and I think that's a disservice to the fans.
I absolutely agree. Appreciate the time, Jimmy. I loved your piece. That's why I called you, and I was like, yeah, this guy said exactly what I think. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem, guys. Take care.
All right, that was Jimmy Kemsky on the Comcast Business Hotline. Does a great job covering the Eagles for Philly Voice. Yeah, it was like Yeah, and the reason it flipped was the Giants were apparently the vote that was no, because it was only 14 days notice. They got it up to 28, and then they voted yes. So Jeff Lurie apparently voted yes the first time. 610-632-0975. Bob, Mike, Gary, we'll get back to the phones on the other side. We'll also introduce the question of the day on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975, where today is sameness. We've just been talking about this general sameness in sports, in Philadelphia sports, and what's going to change the sameness. What's going to be the thing that sparks some positivity in Philadelphia sports rather than this just malaise? We have our deal of the week. Experience thrills and make a splash with the Fanatic deal of the week. Get one same day ride and water park ticket to Morris Pier for $70. That's unlimited rides on all three piers, and you access both the water parks as well. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com, keyword deal. Get your combo ticket before they're gone. Supplies are very limited. Take advantage of that. And, you know,
that's a great deal, by the way.
It's a fantastic deal.
Really, really good.
Can't beat that deal. So you might as well. I don't know what you guys are waiting on. You need to already be on the website. Then while you're there, you got to go to the Best Show Ever page and just start clicking stuff. We don't care what you click.
Just click away.
Yes, it's been set up to where the quality doesn't matter at all.
That's true.
And only clicks matter. So if you, as long as you click on stuff, we're happy. That's what's been set up. There's no, like, quality control or nothing. Just click on it.
Just click.
And while you're clicking, say out loud, listicle, 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 and you get a prize.
Magic things will happen.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
It's like Beetlejuice.
No meeting on Monday, though.
Yeah, that's because it's Memorial Day. Yeah. Then they'd be right back to follow, but they had to send out all those invites.
Well, yeah, I thought they canceled them.
They did, and now they got to put them all back.
Oh, I thought the meeting was going away.
I thought so, too.
I would say no.
Come on, guys. Are you for real?
Yes.
I really was excited. I thought the meeting was going away.
No.
Oh, damn. Thanks
for they that. Might actually.
That ruined me today.
Make it every Monday?
In 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's more likely than getting rid of those things.
Jen, you thought they were...
I did. I got excited. They canceled all of them, and I was like, okay, cool.
They canceled like a month's worth.
No, they canceled way more than that.
Yeah, it was...
I had 74 emails.
Because the next one was going to be Memorial Day. So now they have to start them the 5th, and then start from there.
Man.
I'll see you guys there. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so the sameness. Like the same meeting with the same people asking the same questions.
Same questions.
And then when I actually think, you know what, I'm going to actually pin them down on something.
They did jump on one last time.
They didn't answer it.
No, they didn't.
That was the answer. Thank you for that clarification.
So, the word of the day is sameness. Now, to change things, Hunter, whose birthday is today, believes that it's going to be the hiring of the Sixers coach that gets things moving.
I do.
That room, both Ricky Bo and Jen, went Trey Turner. Now, he's saying all the right things. I'll be honest, I've stunk, et cetera, et cetera. And then, with the sameness, we have the Joel Embiid situation, which is he's at a point now where it's championship or bust. He can win an MVP. People aren't going to care. They can sweep again in the first round. People aren't going to care. They say they'll care about getting out of the second round. But unless it went well once they got out of the second round, let me tell you a little secret. They're not going to care about that either. It's now championship or bust. For the Sixers and Embiid. But if we're being candid and honest, the Sixers do not have a championship roster. Now, do they need another star? Miami's proving maybe you don't. Although I don't know if Miami's going to win the whole thing. But they're proving maybe you don't. But are the Sixers role players good enough then? And in my opinion, based on what I've seen, the answer is nay. So it puts me in a bit of a bind.
Well, you just laid out a scenario where we see an NBA Finals and Jimmy Butler plus role players might come up short. Well, then don't we have to change our whole viewing experience on the offseason if we think right now the best way to go about business because of roster construction is to apply a bunch of role players around Embiid? But if it takes a Murray and a Jokic to win, well, then I don't know if we can go with the philosophy that we think we want to try this offseason, which is a bunch of role players. Even if it gets you to the finish line, it's not crossing you through the finish line. Where do we go from there then?
That's a very fair point. That's a very fair point. So,
I don't know what you do. Maybe, I mean, look, getting to the NBA Finals means you got yourself a shot. And if the Heat's going 7 and losing, well, then, you know, the game 7 could be a coin flip, and that doesn't mean you can't win that way. If they get swept like Boston's looking like they might get swept, then it's a different story. So if they're competitive in that 7-game series, that could still potentially work if you're Jimmy Butler and the Heat and the Sixers.
Yeah.
If it goes 7 or 6, I mean, it's not like you're getting pounded into the dirt.
Yeah.
You're competing legitimately.
And then let me ask you this. With all the Embiid anger, which I think is rightful, and he's still most responsible for the failure. If Harden was as good as Jamal Murray's been, do the Sixers beat the Celtics in Game 6?
Yes. Yes. Jamal Murray's balling.
He's balling.
And even if he's
lately.
In quiet in the first three quarters,
he's doing his thing. And
yeah,
he's the guy with the ball. You notice, it's a lot of Jokic earlier in the game. When they start running their stuff late in the game, it's Murray putting everybody where they need to be. And they do pick and roll. They do some things. They do stuff. But it's Murray with the ball the same way it was in Harden's hands, only Murray's making shots. I don't know what Harden was doing in Game 6. Falling down with the ball.
That's exactly what he was
doing. Throwing it off the backboard. Looking for the referees.
Both hands up. That was it. That was our Game 6. That was our Game 7. They had it, man. They had it on their home floor a couple minutes
ago.
They
didn't, though. They lost.
They had it. It was right there in their grasp.
Just like it was for the Phillies, up 2-1 at home.
Right. They lost, too.
And the Union lost.
Sameness. Sameness. Sameness.
Union were up a goal, extra time.
And up a man!
That was the worst.
It really was. That's like tragic.
Imagine the Flyers. Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7.
Giroux.
Up a goal.
Oh.
On the power play.
And gives up a shorty.
Into the defensive zone and it bounces in.
Gives up a shorty and they lose in overtime.
And Claude doesn't get the hoist it.
Claude. Of course Claude isn't. I don't know why you keep saying Claude. I don't know who that is.
Claude.
Rush me.
Well,
there's one thing I wanted to see in life, and that's that man hoist the Lord Stanley at the Wells Fargo.
Well, we know now. We know.
It would be for a different team, probably.
Oh, that'd be great. Listen, I'd be stoked.
Maybe, because you know Odom was not going to want him that long. Because of the issues he causes in the room. Let's go over the phones. Bob and Mullica Hill. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Ty. It's nice to talk to you guys.
Thanks
Honor,
for calling.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Bob.
Happy belated.
Thank you.
Ricky, hi.
Hi.
Fan of the show. Sixers, I just wanted to talk to you guys, and maybe I missed it at the beginning, and I have been suffering with you guys since it happened. Now you're saying Embiid's the problem. Are we, and again, you might have prefaced this, and I missed it. He was injured, right, guys?
He was.
Yeah, he was, and that should be in the equation. He was the biggest problem, not the only problem. Because, unfortunately, there's multiple problems. We wish it was only one. But yeah, he was hurt.
So, again, why are we saying that it was Embiid's fault?
Because he was well enough to be out there, and it's the star's job to get it done. Now, I said it's not only his fault, and Doc Rivers was rightfully fired. And the role players, because Embiid did find wide open role players, and they did miss shots. And that's not his fault. But ultimately, it's on him to get the job done, and he didn't get the job done.
And I'm sure Joel will be the first to say, if I had any control of me not getting hurt, I would have. But
oh, yeah, I'm not blaming him for the injury, but he was well enough to be out there.
And the point, yeah, well, the problem is, and rightfully so, Doc should have got fired. And it's Doc's fault he got hurt. He should have never been out there with that Nets team that our bench would have beat them.
No. You got to play your starters, Bob.
The Nets are junk.
But
except for the Villanova guy.
Yeah, but
so
then
what are you going to do, play your whole bench?
Boston played Atlanta, and they played their starters, right? You're like, it's the NBA playoffs. You don't just play your bench.
You know how that game was going, Hunter. You knew how that it was. What was their only intent?
Well, like, right,
to beat up and beat
right, but for all you know, the injury happened in the first quarter. You don't know when it happened.
Beat him up.
But you don't know when it happened, though, Bob, unfortunately.
I did hate that approach. I do agree
that. It was a garbage approach.
It was. Vaughn did go with the let's attack him heavily, but you can't not play your NBA starters in the postseason. You can't.
I agree. 610-632-0975. On the other side, boy, we're going to update our Twitter poll. We're going to have what's brewing with Jen, the return of that after we had to do a couple of days of what's cracking with Connor. We're going to talk to people. Man, it's going to be fantastic here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Five the Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. I'm not all right. Not all right. We're the day sameness. The same all the time around here anymore. And I don't know what's going to turn it around. I wish I had the answers. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll with Jed Score.
Okay, what concerns you the most about the Phillies right now? 1,000 votes we have. 2% say fielding, 4% say coaching, 21% runners in scoring position, and 72% still winning there with that starting pitching.
Can't argue with that.
Todd, do you feel when you're looking at the sameness right now and what's going to change it? Are you closer to my side, which is the Sixers head coaching hire, or are you closer to Trey Turner, which is Jen and Ricky?
I'm closer to the Sixers because I don't know if Turner, I think Turner's aware that he stinks, which is good because I don't know if Castellanos half the year even understood what the heck was going on, it felt like. Like his mind wasn't right. So Turner, I think his mind is right. But I don't know if Turner yet knows how to fix it, and he has the best hitting coach in the game. He has the best hitting coach in the game.
There's a lot going on in that swing right now, and I think it all starts with the eyes on the ball. I mean, if you look at what he's swinging at, that's part of his problem.
You know what? I can't help but think. Matter of fact, let's do the question of the day. Then I'll explain what I think. Then we'll talk to people. Then we'll have what's brewing. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Jay, with the question of the day.
Do you go all out on your birthday? Why or why not?
There you go. 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705. It's Hunter Brody's birthday. It was Brode's birthday last week. Neither of you guys went all out.
No.
Jen Scordo's birthday was Sunday. She did go all out.
Yes.
So for your birthday, are you a go all out person like Jen? Are you, nah, I'm not doing all that, like Hunter? Now, I was walking over there. I don't think anybody took it, but I didn't check on that 30 pack.
What?
Uh-oh.
I didn't check, but, like, I didn't catch my eye.
If there was one person in this building who would snag it.
That would be me, but I'm not there.
Taking my beer, dude?
I would, yes, absolutely. I would take that. Miller Lite, yes.
Is my bottle of wine?
Ricky.
Is my bottle of wine still over there? Do you notice?
Did you keep it on your desk?
Yeah.
Then nobody steals off desk. Well, I know there's one person who steals off desk, but I'm not going to say that person's name.
Okay. Yeah, it's on my desk.
I think it's still there.
Okay, yeah, the Miller Lite was in the community area.
Well,
that's true.
It could still be there. What I'm saying is when I walked by.
I didn't think about that.
It didn't catch my eye.
Should I go snag it to see if I can if it's there?
You want to go down during the segment?
Yeah.
Yeah, go check.
Okay.
Go check.
We need to know.
Yeah. Go check.
But there are some very tasty treats out there,
it's
too.
Not there?
They can take the tasty treats.
Yeah, the treats are for the people. That's birthday treats.
Ricky, I brought my birthday cake in.
Oh, very nice. What kind?
I can't have it in my house. Chocolate on chocolate. It is delicious. Oh, so delicious.
Double whammy.
We all good?
We got a problem.
Oh, no.
We got a problem.
Is Stop it. Are you serious?
It's not there.
Well, come
on. Okay, everybody settle. When I got my lager in, do you remember? Somebody took it and moved it.
Yeah, that was. Sure, yes.
I think it was you, Hunter.
It was me.
I was going to say it was you.
It was me.
All right, so that takes that out of the equation.
I did not take this one.
If you took the 30-pack, bring it back. It was part of Hunter's birthday present.
I would be losing it right now.
Come on.
I'm trying to think here. I criticized Coach pretty heavily on his way out the door for making our man Tyrone choke on his water.
Right.
Is it possible that he snagged it on his way out and said, screw this kid?
Yes, absolutely.
No, this is serious. Now, come on now.
That's a coach
thing
to do.
You know that 30-pack's not yours.
Right. All right?
I want you this weekend to have a good time.
I had a whole night planned with that 30-pack.
Man.
I'll put them in the freezer, then one in, one out.
I like
to do with the warm case.
I like that.
That's what you have to do.
You got to do the one out.
What you have to
do. You put a few in, and it's one in, one out.
Well, the good thing is I have enough Millers ready to rock that I'll probably just put that in there and then attack the other Millers.
Oh, that's good. You can have a good rotation. I'm great. Hey, they're your Millers. Yeah. I don't care what you do. I forgot what I was about to say, though.
Well, I mean, we have a problem considering the Millers are not here.
This is disturbing.
Come on.
You think it was sales?
I mean, they don't
Do you put it past them?
They don't respect us.
Josie? What do you think?
No, nah, it's not him.
No,
he's laying
be
on
Jose.
The ground. He's got a muscle issue.
Could it be Jamie?
No, nah, she wouldn't do it.
Jamie might pull that off.
And Gina wouldn't.
Gina would not. No.
That's where it stops.
That might be where it stops. What if it's somebody from the music station
that
just
it?
Walked down and knows that
it was near the community area.
It was in the community area.
Oh. Yeah.
But that's also labeled my desk.
It is.
Yes, during 2 to 6.
The person hold and returned it.
They returned it.
I can't say who, but it's back. That's what Dylan just wrote.
No. Text us who. We'll decide whether or not to say it on the air.
Oh, man.
Text us who.
This is
Somebody
a thing.
Somebody thought it was there.
You see, stapler gate happens, and Dylan has to take the fall for somebody who broke my stapler. And now this.
Now, Dylan seems to always have the answer of who brings things back, but he never tells anybody.
Well, he's out in that area.
Oh, or does he just do it himself?
You read my mind, Ricky.
Oh.
Did you get an answer yet? Because he's not texting me.
Yeah, he didn't text me either.
Yeah, so now what you should do.
It's quite Dylan.
No. Go get it now and bring it into
the
studio.
Don't leave it out there.
Yeah, go ahead. We can't not a
and
moment
to spare. Will you double check that my wine's there too?
Yeah, check if the wine's there too.
Please.
You know, these are small things, but I just want Jen to have her wine and a hundred to have the beer.
These are birthday presents.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These are gold doubloons, but still.
Right.
I mean, it'd be nice if you could
but
drink
it was
the wine.
Thoughtful that you did that for the two of us.
Well, and also some things were a little late with Amazon. So, more stuff's coming tomorrow.
Oh, fun.
But it was a little late with Amazon. Yeah.
There you go. Was my wine there?
Was the wine there?
Yes, the wine
was
there.
Good.
All right,
yeah.
Good.
Now, I kind of want one. I feel like after all this drama.
It's warm.
It's warm. We can't drink
it's
a warm
beer. Case. Because I didn't want, because if I put a 30-pack in this fridge, people are going to drink them.
You don't think I could drink a warm Miller?
I don't want you to.
I think you could.
At 28, I think it's now too old to drink warm beer.
I agree.
I think it's too old. You can do that when you're 27.
Oh, I missed it by a year.
Well, a day.
By day?
Yeah, by a day.
What a shame.
All right. I was going to say something. I teased it, and I lost it. It's gone.
I forget what you were talking about as
well. We lost the tease?
We lost the tease.
No, the tease was great.
I know.
The conversation that was going to come after it
is dead.
What's wrong with Jen?
I mentioned that. Okay. It was supposed to be sandwiched. You know what? We'll just talk to the people.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to hear me anyway? Gary ought to say, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Hey, hello, everybody.
How are you?
Okay. I just want to run something by you. This is all predicated on if Harden leaves. We're going to be screwed under the salary cap, and everybody agrees they have missing pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so take it if Miami and Denver's in the finals, right?
That's happening, yeah.
Okay, not yet, but okay, say they are. Miami, Jimmy Butler. If Miami loses, Jimmy Butler's going to go get Embiid to Miami.
Yes.
Okay, now if Denver wins, okay, everybody's going to, I mean, obviously it's going to go through Denver. Now, Jokic, has a hard time against Embiid.
Well, he has a hard time against any big that has offensive game because of the limitations of his defense.
Right. But from what I was reading, they want to get another superstar in Oklahoma, and they have some really good young players because the following year, not next year, but the following year after that, the only salaries that Sixers had were Maxey and Embiid. So if they could get, I don't know, maybe Giddey and that, you know, the Williams kid that they drafted and some other pieces, like some of the other pieces that they have, younger players, trade Embiid and get, I mean, they have like a dozen draft picks in the next 3 years.
Yeah, so you know what you end up doing, right, Gary?
What's that?
You'll end up being the sixth seed. Yay!
Maybe.
No, maybe, because which one of those guys you're trading for is a star?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
What's so you going? Make a trade with the draft picks are always crapshoots. You trade and get Giddey, who I like as a player.
Right.
Next to SGA. But you Embiid's gone, so Embiid's there. You bring back Giddey to go with Maxey and guys, right? And let's say those guys develop and they're nice. Are any of them stars?
Not yet, No.
Ever. No, but that's what are they ever stars? No. Are they ever stars is what I'm asking.
I think they are.
You think Giddey's going to be a lead star on a championship team?
I think he could be a good point guard on a championship team.
Well, that's not what I asked. Thanks for the call. See, now what I'm saying is you're trading a star. Embiid, whatever you want to think about him, he's a star player. It's very difficult to trade a star player and not get a star back and end up as good over the long haul. And now you can make, listen, I like a lot of those pieces, but the draft picks, you don't know. And if you're saying you know, you're lying. Look back. Hunter, do me a favor.
What's up?
Bring up the Markelle Fultz draft with him and Tatum and them. Bring up that draft, and we're going to look at the top 10. And let's say in this scenario, the Sixers get a top 10 pick involved. And what if you end up with one of these type drafts? Do you have it?
Yeah, hold on. It's the 2017. I went to the Ben Simmons draft.
Yeah, go to the Markelle Fultz.
Here's the Markelle Fultz one.
All right, first pick was?
Markelle Fultz.
How'd that work out with his first team? Okay, second pick.
Lonzo Ball.
Uh-huh. So became a nice player, now has a chronic knee injury. Next?
Jason Tatum.
Very good player. Third pick overall. Uh-huh.
Josh Jackson.
Uh-huh.
He had some issues there.
No, I remember Josh Jackson, but most fans are going.
Who?
Next?
Yep. De'Aaron Fox.
Nice player.
Nice player.
Yeah.
Jonathan Isaac.
Who?
Down in Orlando.
Markkanen.
Nice. It took this long to make an all-star team. 2017, what year was that he drafted?
This was 2017.
2017. Made his first all-star team in 2023.
I'm not sure who this person is. He was the one the Knicks selected. The French guy.
French dude. Uh-huh.
And then Dennis Smith Jr.
Out the league.
And Zach Collins.
There you go.
So there's your top 10 in 2017.
So you trade Embiid, you get a draft pick. And you might get Tatum, or you might get Fox, who took a while. Or you could get one of those guys that's literally out the league.
So I'm just looking at some of the other names that went in the first round. Donovan Mitchell went 13th that year.
Yep.
Bam went 14th.
Uh-huh.
And then Jarrett Allen went 22nd. Those are the reasonable names there.
But all right, so let's go back and then just go to the top. Let's go to the top 14 and we'll go star, not star.
For the ones I just mentioned?
Let's go that real fast, then we'll go back to the phones.
Markelle Fultz is not a star.
Not a star, right.
Lonzo Ball is not a star. Tatum's a star.
Star, that's one.
Josh Jackson.
Not a star.
How would you label De'Aaron Fox?
Borderline, not quite. I mean,
that's a good, almost. That's good. That's good. Uh-huh. I think that's fair. Jonathan Isaac.
Not a star.
Markkanen.
Not a star.
Not a star. Good player, though. Not a star.
Good star. Good player. Not a star.
Zach Collins, no.
Not a star.
Dennis Smith Jr., no.
Nope.
French guy, no.
French Frank, not a star.
Malik Monk.
Yeah, not a star. Nice player. Bounced around, had some issues. Not a star.
Luke Kennard.
Not a star.
Donovan Mitchell.
Star.
Bam.
There's two stars in that draft, and then two borderlines in Bam and Markkanen. And that's what you got. So if you, that's what I'm saying. So when you make that OKC pick, it might be a great draft, or it might be that. Where you have a 2-14 chance of being a star.
Where's Justin Jackson?
1-7.
Because he went 15th. Justin Jackson. Where's he at now?
I don't know.
Portland?
He could be.
Or was that?
But he's not a star player.
No, he's not.
Yeah. And that's why I'm reluctant to just
Sacramento, I think. He's with Sacramento, is he not? Is he part of that crew with the Aaron Fox? On that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Out of Carolina.
Yeah, UNC. Yep.
Yeah, out of Carolina. Mike and Clemson, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic as we go back to the phones. Talking about birthdays. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Oh, pretty well. Kind of,
yeah. Well, I have a little surprise for
He's out of the league now, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, by the way, happy birthday.
Thank you.
To you too, Jen, your favorite group, I'm sure all the guys are going to be happy to hear this, that you're going to be at Camden River, and they're the mainstay on Memorial Day at 8 o'clock.
Who is this? Who's my favorite
Hanson.
Hanson? Are you joking? Yeah.
No, I'm not joking. I thought you might have knew this.
I didn't know that, but I'm excited about it. Thank you for that information.
8 o'clock. Hopefully you'll be out of your meetings, you know. Somebody
probably not.
I don't know.
Oh, man. I need to come down there and straighten somebody out. That's totally unacceptable.
Listen, it could have been way worse. Honestly, it could have been worse. But go ahead there with the birthday thing.
Yeah, and I hope everybody has a good holiday and all. I like I said, you make my day. And I said when I got this in the mail, you know, for the whole summer, and Ashley got one for her other UB40, and they sing Red Wine. I know Jenna likes that. But they have a lot of people there.
I love her wine.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Right. Thanks, Mike.
I do like my wine. I also like UB40.
Mm.
I was more excited about Hanson, though.
Yeah, but, like, you can't sing certain songs when you're grown as hell.
Just like you can't have a warm Miller at 28. I don't make the rules.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Okay.
Like, do you want to see, like, Umbop? When you're a kid, you want to see 40-year-olds singing Umbop?
I do kind of want to see that.
That's weird.
Bop,
yeah.
Bop, bop,
just to say I've seen them do it.
No, it's not the same.
Mm.
You want to hear? Here's a track off the new album.
Umbop.
You want to hear that?
No.
Well, you know that's what they're going to do, right?
Yes.
Here's one off the new album. It's got a... I don't want to do this. Let's step aside. It's time for what's brewing with Jen.
All right, we're going to start with the Miami Heat today.
Yay!
Woo! Evidently, the Miami Heat's locker room playlist is quite wild and eclectic. It's all controlled by Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, DJ Jimmy Butler. I'm seeing articles about this. I didn't read them because I'm in protest.
Oh, do you not want me to do the story then?
No, I mean, it's your story. It's your
story. It includes a lot of Nickelback, which I found surprising.
I did not see that coming from Jimmy.
I didn't either.
I thought country.
He's a huge country fan, right? So I knew that there would be country involved. He's evidently a big Morgan Wallen fan. Nickelback, Miley.
Wallen's not a fan of him.
No. Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, and Rick Ross are a few of
And Rosé?
Yep.
He goes from Morgan Wallen to Rosé. It's such a weird combination.
Weird. It is very, very strange. Evidently, he picks the songs specifically for the lyrics and what they mean and all this kind of stuff. And he has...
With Nickelback.
Especially with Nickelback. The article I read today was especially about Nickelback's lyrics.
He's trolling. And the writer bought it. Like, he's trolling, and writer believed it.
Well, no, because then...
are you kidding me?
Then some of his teammates are trolling along with him because he had quotes from his teammates saying that they then listened to Nickelback.
No, but see, Duncan Robinson probably likes Nickelback.
What I'm saying is...
That's probably
right,
true.
Duncan Robinson goes to Strusa, like, oh my God, this is great!
But they did also say that they've...
Dave Vincent likes it, too.
That they have been opened, their eyes have been opened, or ears have been opened to new music that they probably never would have heard had it not been for DJ Jimmy Butler. And his little playlist in the locker room.
I'm pulling for Jimmy at this point.
I am, too. I'm a Jimmy Butler fan.
I just don't want Jokic to win.
I'm not a Jimmy Butler fan.
Yeah, you're anti-Jimmy.
Because he insists upon himself.
I know.
I don't like Jimmy Butler the same reason I don't like Anne Hathaway. They both insist upon themselves. Reese Witherspoon mixes in the insisting, too.
Insisters.
You're just insisting upon yourself.
If you're an insister, do not plan on being Tyrone's friend. It's
but
not
would you
going
rather
to
watch Jokic win?
Yes.
Okay.
I would not.
I'm going Team Jimmy here.
Me, too. Me too. All right, we're going to stick with the whole.
You guys go ahead and listen to a Nickelback fan.
I think I'm going.
Now all of a sudden, he's in there playing at the parade, and you guys are. Yeah.
After they sweep tonight, I'll be making sure I ride into the studio tomorrow just blasting over the Walt Whitman.
Little Nickelback?
Nickelback.
Hmm. Okay.
Windows down.
I'm not going to do that. But sticking with the music, Mac Jones, who of course is the New England Patriots quarterback, was spotted at the Taylor Swift The Eras Tour over the weekend at Gillette Stadium. Is it any surprise that Mac Jones is a Swiftie?
Not at all.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Nope. He literally defines the look.
Was he at the pouring rain one?
This was this past weekend. I'm not sure.
Well, I think she was there twice. If one of them was just,
I think it was three nights.
Horrible
actually.
Rain.
I'm not sure. The picture didn't look like it because he and his girlfriend were there. Sophie Scott is his girlfriend's name. They were taking some pictures. He even posted a TikTok video of Taylor Swift doing her song Cardigan during the concert.
Yeah, dude, Belichick couldn't lead me nowhere.
I was going to say, you think Belichick shoots him a text? Like, yeah, dude,
whoa,
come on, bro.
What's her name? That.
Sophie.
Sophie?
Sophie Scott or Sophia Scott?
How's she looking?
Sophie Scott. She was cute.
You doing the research here, Ty?
Yeah.
Sophie Scott?
I'm saying she made him go.
Yeah, I'm looking at. He didn't want to go.
Well, he posted the TikTok on
his TikTok.
Yeah,
because she told him to. I'm looking. She's the fan.
She looks good, though.
So, yeah, she's cute. I think he's a fan.
You're
how old is she?
Oh, I don't
like
know.
She's 17. Man.
Yeah,
a little too borderline for
there's
me to be commenting on.
She's only 17.
Do the math.
Not 17.
I'm saying she looks a little too close for me to comment at my age.
Right.
I'm looking at her and go, well, where's your mama at?
Right.
What's up with your mama? What's up with her? Like, that's what I was saying. Sophie, where your mama at? She coming?
Where's your mama?
Oh, yeah. She's in the car. Let me go help her with the bags.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Swifty. Anyway, we're going to have to talk about Taylor Swift pretty soon. And not today. Apparently that boyfriend.
She's 22.
Oh, he's a mess.
Born in 1999.
See what I'm saying? I knew I was right. My instincts were right. It felt a little too close for me to be commenting until I get some age verification.
I'm 28. I'm gross.
Where your mom at? But her mom.
That's a different story.
That's right. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour coming up. And we're going to pick Ricky Bo's brain a little bit at the start of the 5 o'clock hour. That could go like a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it could.
So you don't want to miss it here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we start the 5 o'clock hour with Hunter's favorite song. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour. Listen, the drive at 5 is fueled by VW of Springfield. Get insanely low prices. Go to VWPhilly.com. Word of the day is sameness. Philadelphia sports is just the same all the time. It's just the same across the board anymore, and we're trying to solve that. Who sings this?
The Power of Love.
Who sings this?
You got the title.
Hold on. I do know this. It's Huey Lewis and the News.
There you go.
This is where you messed up. Oh. This is my second favorite song.
What's your favorite song?
The Whispers.
The Whispers. All right.
We might see them appear at some point
the next hour. Song,
no, that's the group. It is the, I know it. Hold on. I need a second here. Oh, no.
I'll get rid of Huey Lewis. That doesn't cloud your brain.
No, I know what it is.
I know, but that's all right. If you play, if Jen plays it today, which she may or may not, or tomorrow, then get it then. Now, Ricky.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the phone soon, but 5 o'clock hour, we've been talking about both the Sixers and the Phillies today. Turner is saying that he stinks right now, and it seems like he can't get himself mentally right. You played the game. So right now, I said I was going to pick your brain. Forget the approach at the plate and all that kind of stuff. You know what, as an athlete, what it's like to be down and out. You know what it's like as an athlete when it's going good. What does he need to do mentally to turn this thing around? They already gave him a day off Saturday. It hasn't really translated to him really doing a lot. What do you think mentally he needs to do to turn this around?
Somehow you don't alienate yourself. I think that's something that happens when guys struggle. I don't care what sport you're playing in. When guys struggle, they tend to alienate themselves from everybody else. That's the last thing you need to do. I think the one thing you need to do, you got a lot of great hitters on this team right there with you. They're seeing certain things. Get some advice. Ask them. Try to talk to them about it. Tell them what you're going through. Stay away from Nick Castellanos. Go to everybody else. I think if you find a guy like Bryce Harper and you say, Bryce, you know, I'm going through this and that, what could you help me with? Because these guys have been through it. They've all been in slumps before. You just have to be able to trust somebody else. I don't know if he's at that point right now. I would think Kevin Kalong would be that guy. But obviously right now that's not working. Number one, he's got to get back to basics. And the basics, it all starts from the bottom up. Have a good base. You know what? See the ball. Hit the ball. Forget about everything else. Why? How about just going back to the most simple points that you could remember as a hitter? Just go back to that. Trust yourself. See the ball. Hit the ball. Trust your hands. That's what I would keep telling myself. If I were him, I'd just keep telling myself. See it. Hit it. Forget about everything else that's going on around you.
All right. That's good advice. That's good advice. So it's, I guess when guys get to any level where you're like a professional, it's about staying within yourself.
Oh, 100%.
Not trying to do too much. And maybe the World Baseball Classic and all that power, then he's coming into Citizens Bank Park where, because you talk about a guy who has hit 28 before. I'd be willing to bet that all players have personal goals. Ricky, am I right? When you come into the season, you want to win, obviously.
Yeah.
But you also have some personal goals coming into a year, don't you?
Most guys do. Most guys do.
My guess is he's thinking maybe I can top that 28. And I wouldn't blame him because at Citizens Bank Park, if you're capable of hitting 28, 30 is in play.
Again,
it's only two more.
Again, you have to delete that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, because it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's too late now. But if you start thinking about home runs and you're a guy like Trey Turner and all of a sudden you only have 2 months into the season, then you're going to start thinking about it more and pressing to do that more.
Right.
Like I said, a step back is always better than a step forward in a sense with your mind. Step backwards with your mind. Okay. Yeah. Let your body take back over. He has the muscle memory somewhere.
Yeah.
Get him back to where he was.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest thing is getting back to where you need to be. Most guys, it doesn't take this long. Most guys, it's especially great hitters,
yeah,
maybe a week, and they figure it back out.
Look how quick Bryce adjusted.
Between him and Castellanos, I mean, I haven't seen anything like
Here's
this.
Here's a positive sign. Matt Gelb just tweeted out 11 seconds ago, Jose Alvarado is throwing a bullpen session tomorrow for the first time since IL.
All right, so he could be back soon.
Positive.
Well, just in regards to him taking the next step, I guess.
He could have come off of the IL today.
Well, then I guess it's not positive. I was just saying in regards to trending in the right direction.
I think they're doing the same thing with everybody now. When they go on the IL, it's like
trending toward a return in early June if things keep progressing.
That's another week.
That's another week.
Well,
I don't know.
At least he's not throwing on the flat ground. He's already on the mound.
Well, this is good.
They were talking about flat ground like yesterday.
That's what I think he did off of flat ground yesterday.
So it must have went well enough.
Yeah, but they're still planning on sending him down for a rehab assignment.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we'll see how that turns out.
All right, fair enough. All right, and then with the sameness in this, we just got to change it up. Something.
There's some Sixers news.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so John Clark is reporting that Frank Vogel interviewed with the Sixers today for the head coaching job. I got no issue with them speaking to him. Look, it doesn't move the needle as much as maybe a Nick Nurse or a Budenholzer does for me, but I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing him in and having a talk and having an interview. So I'm not going to overreact, but you could do better, I think, with what the market is. It's not a horrendous person to speak to, though.
Absolutely. Corey Seidman has, by the way, has all the info on Alvarado on NBCSportsPhilly.com.
Cool.
Or you can go to NBCSports.com/Philadelphia.
I like it.
Yeah, that's how I type it in. I do slash Philadelphia. Yeah, that's how I do it. I like
You're a slashman.
I'm a slashman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Your thoughts on Vogel?
Vogel. It's worth a try. You know what? Vogel's a guy who's pretty tough mentally. And Vogel's a guy who's from here. And he's a defensive-minded guy. Doc was a very offensive-minded guy. Sometimes you want to go kind of the opposite. Like, you know, you get a player's coach, then you get the taskmaster, then you go back to a player's coach. Maybe going to a guy with a little bit more of a defensive background, maybe be what this team needs, being that it's going to look different if Harden's not back. So I'm not completely against it, and I think a year away may have helped them. Sometimes I like to coach after the year off when they come back didn't work so well with like Joe Girardi, but it's worked in the past with others. So maybe, you know, seeing the league, maybe you talk to certain analytics guys, because basketball analytics works different than all the other sports, because it's just three's worth more than two. They don't have to dig into all this other stuff. It's like, you know, three's worth more than two. Oh, yeah, thanks. And that's all the analytics you need. So obviously it's more complicated than that, but not really.
Yeah, I got you. But that was some of the criticism with Doc.
Yeah.
Was it, because he got fired the way he did, he didn't have a time off to assess. Here's the Sixers coming with a fat bag and says, here, have this job. And he never really got to decompress and look at what he did wrong or right. They just got thrown right back into the fire.
And it would be the same with Monty Williams. It would be the same with Nurse.
Yep.
It would be the same with Budenholzer. This would be a guy who's been away from it for a while, and maybe he observes. Because Nick Nurse and all them, there's no way he's digging in the Sixers tape now or for individual matchups. We don't know how much he was able to really digest. Maybe, and that's probably more than any of these guys with active jobs. I don't know. I'm sure some fans will be underwhelmed by it. I hope he gets a fair shake with all the other people. I don't hate it. I really don't. All right, let's go back to the phones. Craig in Deptford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Craig?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm fine. I just my perspective is different for a couple of reasons. I think you just blow it all up. I think I know a lot of people are like, you know, you don't get nothing in return. You're in win now mode and all of that stuff. But at some point, you know, Embiid was a part of the whole entire process. The knock on him for not winning some of the other MVPs over Joker in the past was about being available, and then now some people are questioning if he can even handle big moments. You know, if you want to win now and you think that you can add a few more pieces, I know the issue prior to Harden coming was that no big stars really wanted to come here. You had free agents, you had KD, you had LeBron, you had all these dudes that had opportunities to consider Philadelphia, and they didn't choose to do that. He got rid of a Hall of Fame, you know, football coach in Andy Reid after he had already had great success. Sometimes you just got to start over. There's no, well, what's the logic? And if you're not going to get nothing back in return, sometimes you might have to get two B-list players for one superstar and then go from there, right? You got rid of Andy Reid, you won a Super Bowl. It didn't happen right away with Chip Kelly, but it didn't happen with a guy who was not a superstar Hall of Fame coach. So I don't believe in just the everyday rationale. Sometimes you just need a fresh start, new faces. And the issue that I said previously was that if you can even attract those A-list basketball players to come here, that would be more of the issue in terms of letting him go.
No, that's not it at all. It's not just that. You're making your team, you're getting rid of Maxey too, right?
Well, I don't necessarily know what people feel about Maxey right
well,
now. Like,
well, no, 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 no.
He's a liability. Is it about money? Is it a money thing with Maxey?
No. What it is if you're trying to get bad, Maxey keeps you from getting bad because he's really good.
Well, I don't.
You said, Craig, you started your call respectfully with you want to blow it all up. Maxey is becoming a borderline star. Like Murray with the Spurs, I've used this example. How do you get really bad if you have a really good young player on your team?
Okay, so that's one out of an 8-man rotation.
But it keeps you from being bad as you need to be.
So let me ask you a question: how long is another rebuild? You're saying 4 or 5?
Oh, no,
I don't know. I don't know, Craig. A long time.
Maxey's been in the league for how long right now? And he's not even close yet, right?
3 years?
He's not Murray good yet, right? We agree with that?
Right, so that's going to take forever to find the guy and then to have him develop for 6 years, 7 years. And Embiid, like, he's 29. I don't think he's even at the peak yet. It takes a long time.
How long did you give the process? How long did we wait for the process?
Forever.
How long was the process? So that's my point. Sometimes you just got to go.
Thanks for the call.
I disagree completely. I want to touch more on that.
Yeah, on the other side, 610-632-0975. We'll talk about how it's not as simple as you think when you have certain good players on your team to get bad. We'll be back on 97.5 This Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Happy birthday to you.
I love it. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. Yes, it's the birthday show. Happy belated to Jen. Happy birthday to Hunter Brody.
Happy birthday, Jen.
Feliz cumpleaños. A T.
Looky there.
Man.
Rock steady, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
It took you that long?
It did take me that long.
Probably couldn't have checked Google.
No, see, I promise you I did it.
Deflected the birthday thing. We got to figure out what's the deal with that.
I don't know.
Embrace it.
Just another day, man.
Embrace it.
I had a cup of coffee the same way I had a cup of coffee yesterday morning and the day before.
Did something bother you on your birthday when something happened?
Like, Anthony hates it because of its proximity to Valentine's Day.
I just feel weird. Like, my wife, for example, put some up on her Instagram story. She goes, did you see my story? I said, yeah. She was like, you didn't repost? I'm going to repost. I don't know. I feel
about
weird.
About your own birthday?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you can repost about your own birthday.
Yeah, that would be
weird.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff either.
Yeah,
I don't
think you can repost about your own birthday.
It's like, it's just a weird thing to talk about. It's like, yeah, you know.
So I did over the weekend. There were pictures that my girlfriends put up on their Instagram stories, and I did.
I don't think that's as weird, though, for the women's side.
Did you do the whole another trip around the sun?
No.
Can we retire that a little bit?
Yeah.
Did you say, like, buy me a drink at...
No.
And leave your Venmo?
No.
That's what the kids do now.
Yeah,
they
do.
Man, I've given a lot of $20.
You have?
You're giving the people the 20?
Yeah. I also do it for the bachelorette parties.
You do?
Buy the bride a drink. I always buy the bride a drink.
You know what I do? I don't really do it too much for that. Whenever there's a GoFundMe and I don't know the person or whatever and there's something that's going on.
I give to a lot of those,
I do the GoFundMes. I normally don't do the bachelorette parties.
I always do the bachelorette parties. You know what I rarely get? The thank you.
You get no thank you?
I've gotten no thank you.
That is weak.
Far too often.
That is so weak.
Then, yeah.
That's pathetic on their part.
Eh.
No, nah.
I mean, I'm not that bothered by it, to be honest with you. I just happen to notice.
I'll be bothered for you.
Me too.
That pisses me off.
Yeah, that would bother me as well.
We're about to get back to the foes. But before we went to break, the caller upset you a little bit, Hunter.
Yes.
I wanted to give you a chance to have the floor and discuss.
Well, I mean, he was just saying that it's taking a long time for this process, so let's restart it over now because it's going to take a while. While I look at it the completely other way. It takes forever to get to this point with Joel. You want to hit the restart button now and go through that entire experience again? No. And I keep looking at Jimmy, whether it's fair or unfair. He started turning the corner in the postseason at 30, 31, 32, 33. No one thought Jimmy Butler would be this type of postseason warrior. Joel Embiid's 29. I don't know what he's going to look like at 32, 33. It might not be enough. He might break down. He might have another injury. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, I'm watching another player in this league dominate post 30. I feel like I got to give Embiid some more wiggle room compared to the alternative.
You got to give him at least one more opportunity, but you need something for him. I understand he had the one bad game in the playoffs.
And game seven.
That's going to haunt him. Mm-hmm. It's a haunting game to have a bad game in, and you hope it doesn't carry over into 2023-24 because that's not what you want. What you do want is him to have a little bit more help, maybe take a load off of his shoulders for a little time period, maybe even during the season or the playoffs. You know what? You need to pick up a couple guys. You definitely do. Who knows where they're going to be with that cap.
They got to change up the role players, and you're seeing it, with reliable guys that have a specialized skill set of making wide-open shots.
That's tough to find, huh?
Well, every other team, the good teams all find it. The Heat got 1,000 guys that, when wide open, make it. I'm not these guys aren't creating their own.
Would Furkan hit that shot melt and missed?
No.
You had to think for 2 seconds too long to answer that.
No, but I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know
kind
what?
You
know what? He might have made one.
What's his career? He's a career 35% from three.
Talking about Cork Miles? Yeah, he's not as good a shooter as he thinks he is.
No.
Unfortunately. All right, back to the phone. Stephen Wilkes-Barre, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Steve.
Hey, buddy. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for
calling. Before I get to my baseball thing, if you don't mind real quick, non-sports thing, is like one of the reasons I watch you guys so much is because of the stuff you talk about besides the sports. And I don't even know if you all know how funny you guys really are sometimes. And you need that. Sometimes you need that in your day. So this is why you guys rock, man. I love this show, I'm telling you.
Well, thank you. I've actually never heard before that we were funny.
Oh,
I'm being serious.
Funny. Oh, man, the way you guys pick on Brody is funny.
We have these big old big...
I get picked on and it's hilarious?
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I know it's all in fun, that's why. But, hey, listen, and speaking of that, I was going to give you a suggestion. Have you ever thought about maybe throwing Dylan a mic and letting him, like, chime in once in a while?
We'll speak to the bosses.
There you go, man.
We'll speak to the bosses.
I think Dylan would be funny, too.
Oh, he is. He's Dylan's the one that stole my beer. By the way,
never heard him sing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's excellent.
I was going to be his agent.
Oh, Steve,
come on!
All right.
Hey, listen, this is going to be a point to this Phillies thing. I'm going to give you a couple of records going into June and some recent Phillies history. Okay, one is 31-23 going into June. One's 33-24. They're pretty good records. You think, 2008, 2009? No, no. 2017 or 2018. 2019, that was their records going into that June. How'd that work out?
Steve, we always knew that you'd come in with some Phillies positivity today.
My point is this. You ain't going to lose or win a division or a wild card by Memorial Day weekend.
No, you can win it. Yeah, you can. The 93 Phillies. You can win it. You can say you don't lose it. Thanks for the call. You can win it. You get off to a good enough start, you play 500 baseball the rest of the way, you're good.
But did you hear the tone change? Because normally he's all, they're going to turn it around. Everything will be okay. Now it's, you don't lose the division in this early in the season. So that's it. Starting to break.
No, you really can't. If you look back at the 93 Phillies, I think after the second half, they were literally like a little under 500. But they started so well.
Yeah, they struggled a little bit late.
Yeah, they started so well. You could do that in baseball. You get off to one of them 20-10 starts, and then you build on that, you absolutely can win it early. Because the other teams, listen, they're lucky to, what actually kept the Phillies without, having some hope? When the Astros smacked the Braves around. Because that's about the only team that did it.
Yeah, a little breaking. Apparently, Brandon Marsh was scratched.
Oh, no. Hold on a second. He's been banged up.
Right shoulder inflammation.
Right shoulder, though.
Right shoulder inflammation.
Well, people were looking at his recent play and some of his recent numbers and thinking that something was up.
Yes,
and
he defense was hiding has it. Been decent, but not at the plate.
No, that's a problem. So yeah, we got Guthrie. Although Guthrie had a hose last night.
Oh, my God, that throw?
Yeah,
it was nice.
No, it didn't tickle the fancy, huh?
Oh, I got excited about it.
Are we going to rue the day?
I thought it was fantastic. Traded. What happened in the end of the game? What was the score? Who won?
Thanks, Ricky.
Yeah, it's about what that throw meant.
You know who you can use? Could you have the Mick?
Oh, the Mick. He's killing it. I saw him do a national interview MLB Network.
Yeah. I'm saying that I went to Mickey Mantle's gravesite in my own time. And I went and have a conversation with him. And he says... I say, people called you the Mick. Can I call you that? He says, no. You should be saying that about Moniak.
Oh, man.
And then he floated away.
He's hitting the ball. He's jumping over the wall to catch balls.
Trey Turner has how many home runs?
Four.
Okay. Mickey Moniak has three.
Yeah.
He hasn't played half as much.
No. Turner leads the league at bats.
Well, he swings at everything. He's not going to walk very much.
Mickey Moniak has 28 at-bats, and he's got three homers.
Real power. See, when I went to the gravesite, he did. He said, call me Mickey. That's the Mick out in Anaheim.
Mick.
And then he floated away.
Floated away. So good to see you. We'll have a drink one day.
Was he in his jersey?
Yes.
Nice.
And he had a bat.
Over the shoulder.
One hand. And he said, let me tell you something. I was switch hitting before most kids can hit off hit in T-ball.
Did he have a chewing?
No.
No chewing.
But he did have a drink.
Had a drink.
Okay. Bat in one hand.
Cigar.
Bottle of scotch.
There you go.
The other hand. Bottle of scotch. Was swigging from the bottle.
Should have been a Miller.
I guess there's no rules in heaven about that. You drink as much as you want. 610-632-0975. We'll get to all the calls on the other side. Tom and Chris and Laura and John and Bob and Manny. Wow.
It's a full house.
Yeah, and then we'll get to the question of the day. Man, we'll be back on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. DC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-320-975.
Now we're
talking. Now your favorite song.
Yeah, this is just phenomenal.
We could not go through your birthday without playing this.
Yeah, gotta play it. You know, on the radio side, I was just listening to the best of. Anthony is 100% wrong. This is his first day back in studio in a long time. MVP is a regular season award.
I thought the same thing when I was listening.
It doesn't matter what you did in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's a regular season award.
I didn't have my headphones on.
He says Jokic's the MVP because rim protection on because he's still playing. I go, he's playoff MVP. Regular season award.
Playoff MVP.
I mean, it's not going to change. Like, no, he's very wrong.
No, it's over.
It's very wrong. Regular season's over, right?
Regular season MVP is over.
Right. You know, if that's the case, does Bryce Harper have to get back both of his MVPs? Because he didn't win the World Series
didn't
either
win the
those
World
years.
Series, so I guess it's no good.
Who won MVP for the, was it Pena? Because Carlos Correa left and then Pena stepped in at shortstop. Who won MVP for the Astros? Do we even remember?
For the World Series?
Yeah, for the World Series.
I think it was the kid.
Yeah, I think
it was Pena.
It was Pena. Okay. Yeah, big shoes to fill.
But that's not the, he wasn't a regular season.
MVP.
It was a regular season award. That we should not change that. It is what it is. It's only been one time in the last, I don't know, decade plus where someone won the MVP and the title in the same year.
Judge won it. Judge won it for the 62 home runs.
There it is. So he didn't. It was Pena. We can't do that rationale. We start doing that. Be anarchy around here. We can't have that. We need order.
What's that word you use? Animal?
It's animal act like that. It is. It's animal. Anthony's a sportsman. What's he doing here? He's a sportsman. That's Annie Mall. All right, let's get our final Twitter poll numbers. With the rarely Annie Mall.
Rarely, yes. All right, final numbers today. What concerns you the most about the Phillies right now? Fielding still in last place at 2%. 5% say coaching, 20% runners in scoring position, and 73% starting pitching.
Okay. I mean, I'm concerned about all of it. But there's no wrong answer on
most of the comments were like, we need an all of the above. Yes. I like to make you think and make a choice.
I like that you pin people down.
Yeah.
Let's do one more time for the question of the day. 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705. Jen?
In honor of mine and Hunter's birthdays, do you go all out on your birthday? Why or why not?
You go all out. Why or why not? 610-771-9705. And when you call that, it's no waiting on hold. You just leave your message. It's anonymous, which is both good and bad. Also, there's a chemtrails guy that calls. It's getting on Dylan's nerves. Why don't you go and actually do some scientific research, chemtrails guy? Because he's been telling all of us that we're going to die due to the chemtrails for at least 7 years.
Yeah, years.
Every person I know who screens calls here says the same thing. It's unreal how much that line buzzes.
Of the chemtrails. So with the chemtrails guy, if we're all dying from it, when? Because it seems like kind of a slow play. Because it's been at least 7 years he's been calling actively about these chemtrails. Well, if they're going to kill us, what are they waiting on?
It is. Hell. A very interesting conspiracy theory.
I'm just saying, when's it going to happen?
I don't know.
When are they going to push the button?
After the vaccine kills me.
Yeah. That's been north of a year. It's probably on 2 years.
Maybe that's when it kicks in.
Still could.
After I morph into a different animal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, these chemtrail guys, if it's going to happen, hell, there's times where you put me out my misery, buddy. What are we waiting on here?
Oh, Tyrone.
Oh, come on.
Man.
We had fun. Steve said we're the funniest people in the world. I might have added that last part of the sentence.
That's okay.
But
in the world?
Embellishing a little bit.
In the world.
Let me tell you something.
We have a role, Ty. All right?
But for how long?
Well, that's to be determined.
That's the tough part.
Past October? November? These are all real questions.
I'm going to...
Can we make it to football season?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we make it to at least December 31st.
If we get to December 31st, I think we're rocking for another 6 months minimum.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Tom in Philly, you're our 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Tom.
Hi, y'all.
What's up, Tom?
What's going on, Tom?
Before I get to my Phillies point, I did enjoy one sports moment this weekend.
Oh, I know what it is. Let me guess.
Club Pro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was great. Incredible.
That was incredible. Top 15, hole in one on the fly.
Unreal.
By the way, he needed that. He needed that hole in one and that great putt on 18
to qualify
to re-qualify for next season.
Nuts!
That was that
clutch.
That was one of the greatest up and downs I've seen by anybody.
And they got the camera at his golf place where he charges the $150 an hour. They're going nuts in that place. Like there was no golf decorum in that room. They were going crazy. I know that guy. He's the reason my slice turned into a slug. I still stink, but yay.
How about throw $300,000 on top of that and another invite to the next tournament?
It's so crazy.
It's awesome.
He changed his life this weekend, Tom. Yep. That's a great point.
Anyway, when it comes to the Phillies, though, there's just no excuse for this lack of fundamentals. This bad base running, the not knowing what base to go to, throwing to the wrong bases, The guy that scratched tonight, Marsh, he's the most guilty of all when it comes to throwing the ball. He throws the ball anywhere.
Yes. He catches it, but he throws it just all over the yard.
I just read a thing that defensive saves, they are 25th in the league, tied with the Nationals. That's not good.
Once you get Harper at first base in July, I think that's when things start to get a little bit better. When you can DH one of those corner butchers, that might help things a little bit.
I think Thompson has to use his hammer.
You believe that?
Thompson has to use the hammer on some of these guys.
Well,
and sit them down.
I said that, and it was very controversial, Tom. We love you. Thanks for the call.
I don't think he's as nice as everybody thinks.
You think he's a little meaner behind the scenes?
Thompson? Absolutely.
You're probably right.
Is it working then?
He's got to have the red ass.
I would say the answer is no.
But he doesn't take away PT.
No, he does not. I don't know if you could do that in society nowadays. I don't know.
You could be right.
I really don't.
Didn't Snicker do it down in Atlanta? Look how they just continue to have success. Didn't he bench Ronald Acuna Jr.?
By the way,
did you see what he did last night?
No. Was it bad?
No. He was on first base. There was a walk. He went like jogging to second base. All of a sudden, you see him just keep running to third. Nobody was covering third base.
Oh, I'm watching the play now.
Let me tell you, Acuna's playing fantastic. It doesn't make me happy. He's cut down his K rate by 10%, and he's hitting for more power. Mm. So striking out less and hitting for more power, more doubles, more home runs, better average. You talk about just pure talent, just as an aside, that dude's as talented as anybody in the game.
He's starting to play smarter baseball.
That's what I mean.
Let's face it, in the playoffs last year, he wasn't.
He murdered them. You're right.
He didn't show up on JT's home run.
Yeah, he murdered them. But I got to say, as far as just talent goes, that dude is as talented as anybody in the game.
100% agree.
And unfortunately for us, it looks like he's putting it together.
He's hitting .342 with 11 homers.
See?
He has 19 stolen bases and 27 RBI.
Uh-huh. But we're not. We're going to see him this coming up.
He's
25 years old.
6 years in the bigs.
Already got a World Series. I mean, he was hurt, but he already got a ring. He's been in the postseason like every year. If he figures out how to play baseball, that's a problem for us.
Which it looks like he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? We'll just keep throwing the ball wherever the hell we feel like it and see if that works out.
That leads the league, by the way, in stolen bases.
Yeah.
He leads the league in runs scored.
And one home run less than Schwarber. And he plays, when he's engaged, he plays plus defense in right field when he feels like playing. Because he got a nice glove out there, too.
Scary stuff.
This is why we get frustrated now. Because look at the Phillies' record. They haven't played the Mets or the Braves.
It's coming soon.
It is coming. Next Thursday.
Yeah. It can get ugly. You know how, and the Mets are going to have full of confidence.
Well, it's going to go one of two ways. Either they wake up on Thursday saying, we have to start playing baseball, or the Braves and Mets are just going to, you know what, just take them out early.
I think it's the latter.
Let's hope not.
All right. Yeah. Lauren Rockless, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Laura.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Honestly, I'm really just calling in to say a happy belated birthday to Jen and happy birthday to Hunter, my guy.
Thank you.
Glad you got your Miller. Did Dylan really take it?
He did.
Yeah, he's messing with
playing
me.
A prank on me. I didn't know it was him, though, until
no,
the prank.
No. When we said that, we were being definitely serious. He was just playing around.
All right. Fair enough. Did anybody get down with the college women's softball championship this weekend? Because that's what I've been reduced to watching.
No.
You didn't watch golf?
I was on the golf.
I mean, no. I used to play softball. So, Ricky, did either of your girls play softball?
Yes, but then one of them went just all gymnastics. The other one went...
track star.
No, oh yeah, track. Track and gymnastics. The track made her famous, trust me. And the other one played field hockey.
Did they play like what they're playing? Because let me tell you, I used to play ball and I was watching that, and softball is... First of all, the fact that they're wearing face masks now as pitchers, brilliant. And I've never seen runners or pitchers, or no, sorry, run at a pitch. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, run and hit. They do
that's
the
what they do that now because.
They catch it before it moves.
Yeah, that's what it's about. You got to, it's hard, and these pitchers are so good. And you got to know, from that distance, they say it's like equivalent of the pitchers all throwing 100 miles per hour.
Yeah, that ball moves,
the ball
too.
Gets on top of you so quick, they're just trying to get a base runner.
Run up in the box and, like, slap the ball.
Yeah, because it's so hard. It's so hard to really barrel it up from that distance as good as these pitchers are.
There's some girls that are barreling everything. There was a girl on Notre Dame who had 3-2 games there.
Yeah, those girls are those girls. I'm saying against these top pitchers, the reason they're doing this is because they don't think they can just, that most of these people can stand in the box and deliver. Ooh. So they're trying to manufacture a run themselves.
Yeah, that's not fun.
By putting themselves in motion because they don't feel like most of them can just stand in there and do that. There's always exceptions that can. But 1-9, hell no. They don't have enough.
Nope.
These pitchers are too good. And why are almost all of them, like not all, but like 90% built the exact same way?
They got softball pitcher. Strong legs.
Yeah, they're all, like every once in a while you get the exceptions, but you can tell their position by looking at them before the game.
Maybe because of the way they train. They train a certain way.
The same way all over the country?
I don't know.
No, I'm saying that could be it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking the way that you have to train to put yourself in the best position to succeed on the mound, maybe there's a certain way that they, kind of perfect the craft.
Well, it's all leg drive.
Right, exactly. So maybe it has something to do with the way that they're
building
muscle.
You ever see Jenny Finch?
Yeah, I was already Googling her like 3 minutes ago.
An exception to what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she was an exception.
Kat Osterman was an exception, but for the most part, John in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right. How are you?
Happy birthday, Jen and Josh.
Thank you.
Josh. That was good. I haven't gotten a Josh in a while.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. Nice job, John.
I have other good news. Penn won the Ivy League yesterday.
Yes. Shout out to my boy, Derek DeMaria, who's on the coaching staff.
Absolutely.
Is that women's softball?
No, that's
friends.
You got friends
smart like that?
Gloucester Catholic alum.
Oh, you got friends smart like that, Ivy League friends. Oh,
yeah. So I was reading an article today on ESPN. They were saying Shohei Ohtani is he's on his last year of his contract. And they were saying they should get rid of him and see what they can get.
Don't do it.
He's not going to be back next year for the Angels because he wants to win. So I was thinking, what do you guys think?
You want to bring him in here? They're not going to take Castellanos' salary
before the trade deadline.
Why would you move? Why would they take on 3 years after this? This is year 2 of 5 at $20 million per.
The reason why they would get rid of him is because they don't want to pay him, which is stupid. But that's why. So why would they take on some Castellanos money?
Yeah,
because he's getting a right-handed hitter. He
makes $20 million. I hear you, John.
That team doesn't want to take on anything.
Right.
They have the two best players in baseball, and they never When?
And they're going to add another, they're going to commit to 70 more million.
Yeah, no.
60 in the 3 years, and then let's say half this year. That's a lot of money to take on to lose.
But the Ohtani's going to leave.
Ohtani is going to leave.
Well, that's the
maybe
that's,
RSL and trade like,
but,
trade
but
like Eric Hall and McGabe or something.
What you have
Eric
to hope.
Hall.
I'm just throwing people's names.
I know,
but there are better prospects to that. Even the Phillies have better prospects to that. Thanks for the call.
That's a no.
In fact, somebody emailed me some good news.
Oh, I never thought you got emails that were positive.
Rarely. But Louis Jacobs sent it. Justin Crawford so far, Ricky. Now listen to this. He just, you know, was 2022's first round pick down there in A-ball. Batting 317, 104 at-bats, 17 RBIs, 18 stolen bases.
Ooh.
Off to a good start. And you know how fast they move these kids. He could easily be in Double-A next year and in the majors the following year. That's how fast these kids move up now. If he, 317.
That's
17.
Carl Crawford's son, right?
Yep, so he got the pedigree. And they think with his body, he's going to project to be a corner outfielder guy because his body's going to get bigger.
Is it crazy when you look up his bio and you see first round pick that born 2004?
Yeah.
Like when you start to see these kids these days, it's like born 2004.
He's 19. I'm saying 20 at AA and the majors. That's not out of the question with the, how fast these guys move.
Yeah, and that apparently that De La Cruz, the outfielder Redding, is tearing it up a little bit now.
He is, and that those are the type guys. If you wanted Ohtani, you need some of. They want prospects.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to want. And at least now it looks like the Phillies have multiple outfielders who might have a half a chance to play because this team has a terrible track record of developing outfielders.
I agree.
Even when they were really good, it was all the infielders they developed. First base, second base, shortstop. The outfielders, you had Burrow.
Yeah, well, he was going to be in the – well, he was actually an infielder.
Yeah, that moves, right.
He's a left
third baseman. This team, Phillies, for years – I mean, and this is different regimes, different GMs. They do – for some reason, the Phillies, other than my guy Moniak and Haseley, they don't develop outfielders. It'd be nice if they could because every other good team does. Look at the Braves. Their center fielder is homegrown, too.
Oh, they know how to do everything.
Yeah, they develop those guys.
Yeah, everywhere you look, I mean, they seem to have something, the Braves, at every position.
It's just
it's embarrassing.
And they get them right from Georgia. You going to tell me Philly can't go down and send a scout to Atlanta?
Go to UPenn.
I'm saying they go there and just draw a circle around Georgia, and they just get a bunch of players. They go to the Dominican Republic or Georgia for all their players.
There you go.
All their players are either from the Dominican or 3 miles from the ballpark. And they get all that winning. You need to put somebody down there.
Come on, Dave. You don't think Dave Dombrowski's on the prowl to get some Dominicans?
Shake this garbage.
When was the last time the Phillies had one?
We need to start.
Brandon Marsh is from Atlanta, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they traded for him.
That's true.
he was all state football and everything.
Yeah.
He was the real deal. You actually see
wouldn't want an athlete.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Things will get better, people. I promise. Well, I promise nothing. I think things will get better. If that doesn't.
Yeah, I would not make that promise.
That's a tough promise to.
Yeah.
Do they win tonight?
No. Matt Strom.
I agree. I don't think they're going to win either.
But what's the guy's name? Covey.
Six and 29. Worst pitcher with a guy with at least 30 decisions.
You
the last
better win. Because you got Zach Gallen tomorrow.
Oh, day game. Gallen. Tomorrow.
No JT, probably.
No, game after a night game. All right.
Well,
this was super fun.
Hey. How are they minus 155?
Who, the Phillies are?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to win the game now. All right. That line tells me they're going to win the game. All right, they'll find a way. Offense. Bryce Harper. Now time for our question of the day.
This is the question of the day. Let's go to the answering machine.
610-771-9705 for future reference. We're talking about birthdays. Do you take the Jen route and go all out? Or do you do the Hunter route and do nothing? Let's see what the people say.
Well, at this point in my life, I try to find really fun things to do on birthday. Last year, I went to Tampa Bay to go to Busch Gardens. And this year, I was in California for the week of my birthday. More specifically, I was in San Diego, so the zoo and the sunset. So yeah, like, in your 30s, you try to find something fun to do.
All right.
That's nice.
That's good, Scott.
See, when I was young and good looking,
like Hunter, I used to celebrate. Now that I'm
trying
to plus his age, the celebration ended years ago because I don't want to celebrate being old.
Not fair.
Mm. I think he was right in the beginning.
No.
No. I believe my parents deserved all the credit for my birth. All I did is show up.
Nope, you fought through. You fall
I go all out my birthday. Matter of fact, I'm going all out on your birthday.
Thanks.
I'm going all out. I'm waggering up, hammered down. You know, and to me, every day's a birthday. Just to wake up every day.
Thanks, Scotchy. Listen, thanks to everybody out there. Thanks to Booty. Thanks to Dylan. Up next on the radio side, Devon Givens. Up next on the TV, Phillies pregame with Ricky Bowe and Diamondback Phillies. We'll be back at it, everybody, tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.